Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
What up, y'all? And this is another episode of Balls Deep Sports, the premium sports podcast of the Blackout Test Podcast Network. I'm in the house. I'm not by myself. I'm always joined by obviously my co-host. Can't do the show without him. It's my man Justin. What up, Jay?
Feliz Navidad, my brother.
Mm-hmm. And Feliz Navidad unto you. Is how you doing? Everything all right,
man? Oh, everything's going good, cool. Man, you know, ironically, you know, I'm normally not geeked up about Christmas, don't really celebrate Christmas like that, but mm-hmm. You know, with Jeremy having his firstborn son, mm-hmm. Jeremiah, he got me hyped.
Yeah, got a biblical Christmas name and everything, so that's, yeah, shout out to little Jeremiah and his first Christmas ever. He'll never remember any of these gifts, so don't get him anything too expensive, guys.
Well, you know, he doing right now, he took the family photos is what he did.
Okay. Y'all take him down there to see white Jesus. White Santa Claus.
He do got one on white Santa Claus lap. You know, at Bass Pro Shop, they was doing free pictures with Santa Claus a few weeks ago.
Okay.
For like 2 weeks. So he took him right there, got the free picture. But I'm talking about he took the family. You know, he said he going to make a tradition every year around Christmas due to the family photo with him and the baby.
Okay.
And the baby's mama.
Gotta make sure too that there's a white Jesus there too, you know. We gotta respect, like, maybe
if you don't get a white Jesus, then what's the purpose of all
white
this?
White Santa, white Jesus, you know.
It was obvious that they both white.
Exactly.
Look him up.
Yes.
He's a historical figure, y'all.
Facts.
Facts only.
A facts that in Middle Eastern, where most people were dark skinned at that time, that Jesus was white.
Yeah, he was the only. That's why they listened to
that's
him.
That's what adds on to the anomaly. Yeah. That's what makes his story special.
That's how they knew he was the son of God.
Yeah.
They say, oh, he white. Yeah. So he.
Everyone else.
Listen to him, y'all. Gather around. We also have, as you guys can hear, back by popular demand. A man who said Adrian Peterson takes a porn star pounding every week. It's my man Vic. What's up, dog?
Yo, what's up, man?
It's good to have you back. Balls Deep. Sorry that you took all them L's this morning at the gym, dog. If I would have showed up, I feel like
games.
You would have won.
Won three games. It's just, you know, I just had one person that was playing like a little dick.
Yeah, I feel like if I would have shown up, you would have won all the games because, you know, I would have been on the team instead of Ron.
When did winning three games become an accomplishment, though?
In the morning, you don't have the time. Afternoon, you can play like seven games or whatever and then, you know, leave. But in the morning, you basically got 2 hours, an hour and a half, and it's up to the pacing of the game. So, like, if you get seven games in, then that's an accomplishment. But if you only get, like, five games in and you win three, then it ain't that bad. But it's only because of that time period. I still don't feel satisfied when I only win. Like when I'm on a winning streak there and it's time to go and they be like, I'm about to go to work. I'll be like, man, y'all can't play one more?
Yeah, one more. Yeah, everyone does that.
Yeah, let's get another one in, man. Dish y'all off.
And you feel good, too. Like, there's nothing feeling good. Like, you won some games. Like, you know, no matter how much money's in your bank account, you're going to have a negative in your account, you know. But, hey, man, I won three games.
I love sending those dudes to work with a loss. Nothing better. Nothing better.
Yeah, even though they going to work.
Yeah. Go start your day off with an L. Yeah. I'm going to go back home, take a nap.
Hey, Ross, send me another invitation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. I got you, bro. But I'll be like, I'm going to go home, you know, work on my podcast, work for myself, and, you know, take a nap or something. You guys have a good one. Did that work, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, man, but we can't start the show without playing the theme song, so let's do it.
How deep?
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dave.
I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about
positive traits.
Give a pound into her feelings. Make her south mouth salivate. And Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking just to tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
No problem. Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Sorry to hear that.
Where was I?
We're talking about balls deep. In love. I'm talking about balls deep.
My boy's talking about
balls deep. We're talking about balls deep. In love.
Rest in peace to Cleveland Show. All right, man, let's get right into it. We always start off the show with the last week in the NFL. This week is a little different. No Thursday night football. So we don't even have that one game to recap like we always do. So it's just a straight up, what happened last week. So we can go through game by game. I believe we already talked about Chargers Broncos last week and Peyton Manning's,
clusterfuck.
Yeah. His arm not being able to put up 30 and his defense not being able to stop anybody, which, continues to be a trend. Can y'all take notice of that in the playoffs?
But then what do you account for the lack of points scored? Cause I don't think we talked about that. We just talked about the defense, but
well,
at the beginning of the season, they was putting up 45, 50 points a game.
First things first, I Papa freaks all the honeys. Now, first things, I think, it's cold. And that affects that finesse passing game that they have.
Nah, sticking with the sun don't shine.
Yeah, right. That the fact that he came out talking shit because he had one good game in the cold 2 weeks ago tells you mentally where he's at with that. You know what I mean? Like that shouldn't be an accomplishment for a guy as good as him. But he came out like, see, sticking with the sun don't shine, you idiot kickers. I was like, all right, Peyton.
Well, I mean, I think. With the Denver Broncos too is that, you know, they've been having trouble stopping the run. And you know, when you're playing against a high power team, you're going to keep the ball out of their hands. And so, you know, for the Broncos, I mean, their greatest defense too, like you guys are saying, is their offense. So they put up 50 points and then the other team has to throw
and
throw
the
and throw,
thing
throw,
is
throw the ball.
People ain't watching these games cuz they looking at the final score and they be like, well, they only lost by 7. It's like, here's the thing, though. If you watch the games, they start off in the hole. Like, cause some people are trying to, like, even during the wins, it's like, well, they beat Washington, you know, 50-21 or some shit. It's like, right. But at halftime, it's 14-21 Washington. And it's not cause Peyton Manning's out there just fucking up all the time. The defense can't cover up for it. Like, if he don't play perfect, the defense not gonna get a stop anyway. And then when you compile that with the fact that, you know, it's getting colder, Wes Walker's hurt. I think that makes a big difference.
They tried to stick him back out there. I can't believe it.
Like when he came back out, I was like, didn't he just have a concussion? Like that wasn't that long. Wasn't that like last week?
Yeah, before last.
Yeah, he's done for the season,
he
by the way.
You know what he thought was? He was still with the Patriots and had to get out there.
He came out there. He's like, throw it to me, Tom. I'm be open. Peyton was like, what? Tom? You okay, Walker? Yeah, bubblegum tomato Tuesday. What? All right, man, run the crossing route.
You had to pick that up earlier in practice that he was not ready.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He's not going to come back until the playoffs.
Right, yeah, they shut him down for the rest of the regular season, which kind of tells you he must have had some serious issues.
What's the second one?
In like 2 weeks or something.
Right, like that's a clip. Normally for me, that means my NFL career would be over.
Over, right.
If it was soccer, my soccer career would be over. Mm-hmm. Basketball, same thing. I don't.
Yeah, but.
You know, they always say football players are tougher, but is it that I can't tell if smart or dumb?
Like, yeah, it was definitely that. Cause RG3 seems like one of the smartest people when you listen to him talk, but this nigga thought it was cool to go play with a leg that was held together with tissue paper. Like no smart person would do that. Like if you sat them down and just said, write me out a 3-page paper about why you would do this, he would be like, I can't come up with 3 pages of shit. It's like, it's no good reason to do this. Like, right. But once you put a football helmet on, it's like, you got to play for your teammates. All right.
Yep.
I
live and die for this.
The thing that I'm noticing, though, because, like, last night I was at the bar and I was talking to my white friends about this. And I was like, yeah, man, Peyton Manning's defense is terrible. So, you know, they might be looking at another early exit from the playoffs. And it was like, nah, it's just Peyton Manning scores so fast that it's like the Rams. And I was like, no, it's not. Cause when the Rams won the Super Bowl, they were blowing people out 30-10 at halftime.
And it took them several tries to do it.
Right. And by the end of the game, it might be 45 to 20. You know what I mean? But it was never, no, it wasn't, they weren't just starting the game off down 20 being like, I hope we can come back. It's a big difference.
And again, it just, it, and I think too, it just goes back to their defense cannot stop the run. When you allow Matthews to run the ball like he did, I mean, he hasn't ran like that all year. And so,
well, he's been better than you think, but yeah, that was his best game by far.
It is. And he's a good back. I mean, he's a stud. But you allow someone, and they had time of possession. I mean, Phillip Rivers didn't have the greatest game, but they had time of possession. They held the ball. They kept running it, pounding them.
Yep.
And then
porn star pounding.
And then, you know, they couldn't get it. I mean, they just couldn't. They took a lot of time of possession out. And then for Peyton, if you get Peyton to the ground, you don't even have to sack him. Put pressure on him. It changes the whole game.
The thing is, man, like, the way I see it is, like, it's not that they're, like, hitting Peyton that matters. It's the fact that they're, like, hitting his receivers on them little underneath routes. And niggas ain't trying to do that all day. You know what I mean? Like, you just see the receivers at some point be like, man, I'll catch that in the fourth quarter, but no, Peyton. Like, I'm not taking these hits.
Yeah, we was joking, Jameis Winston about that.
We
was joking him about that during the game, but yeah, them cats, they not trying to get a contract. They got their contract. They not going across the middle after the first quarter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can see, like, a big lull for Peyton Manning's underneath routes from, like, first quarter to, like, the end of the third. Then all of a sudden in the fourth, dudes be like, okay, I guess I'll catch it because we really, really, really need it.
Yeah, and definitely coming up on week 16, they definitely not going across that middle. Maybe the first two games of the year when they hyped, they hadn't played football and, you know, real contact in a while, they going across the middle.
They sitting up there like, it's cold, they hitting, and we already got our playoff spot. Well, why are we doing this?
Yep. They hit him with the, even during when he called out the play, they probably be like, for who? Yeah. For what?
Why?
He'd be like, I'll run it, but don't expect me to catch it.
Yeah, Demaryius be like, why don't you just keep throwing them long ones like we've been doing?
They probably be asking him, can we please run the ball?
Right. Yeah.
He'd be like, no.
But even though, if you look at the run game, I mean, they shut down Sean Marino. I mean,
yeah, they did.
He has not had a really good game since he ran for 200 yards against the Patriots.
Man,
here's the thing, though. It's obvious when they going to run the ball, and it's like, wait, they're not in the normal pass formation, and Peyton didn't do all these audibles and all these other things. It's clearly a run.
Yeah, Peyton be overthinking it sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, they do pretty good when they're running from, was it the pistol? When they're doing the pistol offense and they're running that, because people think the pistol offense is just for athletic, mobile quarterbacks, which it really isn't. And you know, when they're running the ball from the pistol, it does give Sean Marino that 4 or 5 yards, because he's a ground and pound. He doesn't have that explosive that he's going to run for 50 yards. No, none of their running backs do. And I think that's another problem. None of their running backs are going to, that they can, you know, take the ball and score with one carry.
Well, I'll push back on that a little bit. I think Monty Ball has explosiveness, but he's a fucking fumble machine.
Is it Hillis?
No. Monty Ball, the young rookie, black dude, he can run his ass off, but he fumbled all the goddamn time. Like, he's lost 3 fumbles, but he probably has fumbled like 6-7 times. And like, it's led to him getting benched a couple times this season. But, you know, he's been playing a lot the last 2 weeks and he's been putting up some pretty decent numbers. But it's just a matter. And then even with Noshon, you gotta give him the carries
to
build it up. Cause like Noshon can really tear a team up, man. Like, fantasy football wise, he was the number one running back in the league for a while. And then just after that big game, like you said, he was, not only was he not the same, but when he came back, they were like putting ball in the game, checking down, changing the play to pass all the time.
And they only gave him the ball. He only had 8 carries.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, it's just that's Peyton's fault.
Yeah, Peyton's primary function anyway for a running back is, can you block? It's not even about can you actually run the ball. It's can you block and can I do dump off passes?
That's a good point. But they were giving a lot of carries to Marino.
Was that
earlier.
Why John Fox was out? And they had a substitute coach?
That was while he was out.
They were performing a lot better then. They were actually like a machine at that
Another
point.
Dude about to get fired after a heart attack. Speaking
you know,
of
Well, but, I was going. I was just gonna say one other thing is that with the running back is that also too they get a lot of their yards in the fourth quarter and late third after they've worn the defense down because the defense tired of getting hit by the running back.
Exactly. You have to commit to it. We'll get to that later, and it's kind of fitting that Nick Jew left early because you know we'll be talking about the Cowboys at some point. The Redskins, Justin's favorite team, played the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm a fan of the Redskins. My favorite team starting to be Seattle. You know, I really like Seattle. But
when 2-3-10 teams meet in week 14 of the NFL season, you know you're ready for some fireworks. And that's what we got here. Kirk Cousins.
The fight for the number one pick. That's what I see it for.
we tried to lose that fight.
Yeah.
The thing is, Kirk Cousins didn't know the game plan because he tried to win that fight. He came out there. He said, "I'm trying to get my draft. I'm trying to get my trade stock up."
But you gotta realize too, the Redskins don't have a first round draft pick because they got RG3. Mm-hmm. If I'm a Rams fan, I want them to keep losing. So I'm going to get their. They might get the number one pick. They might be the first team to have the number one pick without having the number one pick.
Man, that's why they went for two at the end of the game instead of just going into overtime.
Yeah, they're trying to win games because, again, it's not going to matter for them. They can't pick anyone.
The Redskins had Kirk Cousins come out, throw 381 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Threw it 45 times. Alfred Morris had another good game without scoring a touchdown because that's just what he do at this point. Fantasy owners everywhere frustrated. Kirk Cousins didn't look too bad, but Atlanta is also one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
But, they're trying to size his numbers up by the end of the season so they could be able to point to Kirk Cousins' last 3 games and be like, oh, he threw 9 touchdowns and 4 interceptions and blah, 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 and try to get a high draft pick. My boy who's a Redskins fan was saying that if this season plays out perfectly, what he believes will happen is Kirk Cousins plays well. He plays himself in the Matt Flynn territory. You trade him for a high draft pick, either a first or second rounder, and then next year you get that draft pick and RG3 comes back.
John Gruden has already come out and said that he would, if he were a GM or a team, he would trade a first-round draft pick for Kirk Cousins. I respect his opinion, but I think he's nuts on that.
Man,
but,
how much is he charging for his opinion now? I feel like Dan Snyder paid a lot of money to get him to say that.
I also, I don't see it. You know what I mean? I think next year's draft, like, people would rather draft a quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be a strong draft.
Like, if they're going in the first round to get a quarterback, it feels like they will probably just take one of the quarterbacks that's coming out in the draft, rather like Bridgewater or Manziel or dude from UCLA or something. It seemed like they would just do that shit first rather than be like, let's take a flyer on Kirk Cousins for our number one draft pick. And people forget that with the salary cap, your number one draft pick is more valuable than ever.
Yeah. It's teams that already got a good quarterback, but they want a backup just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers needs a better backup. Even though he did win.
Yeah, Matt Flynn did do his thing lately, but I know what you mean. Yeah. I made a list last night of the teams that might be interested. But I'm putting a little question mark above Mike because like Oakland might be interested. If I had a first round pick, I would just pick a quarterback that I think I could have for 10 years rather than get Kirk Cousins.
It's the argument you told me. You just can't keep getting quarterbacks every draft.
Yeah, you just can't, right? At this point, they got what? McLaurin, Pryor, they've been burned by the Matt Flynn train. Like, I could see them being like, no, we're not taking Kirk Cousins. Let's just get, let's just finally spend that high draft pick again. Like, I think the last time they spent a high draft pick on a quarterback was, Jamarcus Cousins or Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
they spent the third rounder to get, Terrell Pryor. And then they spent a first and second rounder to get Carson Palmer. I mean, they have spent a first, second, and third round.
Literally in the draft, like draft a young quarterback. I won't say Jamarcus was the last one they tried, but Al Davis is alive.
I think,
cause I'm not counting the third round. I mean, first round. Cause I feel like if you take a quarterback with your first round pick, you really think that dude can be the future of your franchise. So I think if I was the Raiders, and I don't know if they have a first round pick, but I'd rather do that than try to get Kirk Cousins right now.
I can see Cleveland doing it.
That was another one that came up, but I think people forgot that they just got Whedon, right, who they don't like. But number two, the dude Hoyer, they got hurt now for the season. They really believed in him. They thought he was the future.
Well, we talking about Cleveland. They don't do anything.
So you like they'll make them.
I feel like
mistake.
We falling into the Cleveland category, like the Redskins. I feel like we really are. We close to it.
I feel like what Cleveland would probably do is take a running back in the first round, and then everybody would be like, "Why are you taking him so early?" And they'll be like, "Don't worry, we got the Rams pick." And then with the Rams pick, they'll take something that they don't need, like a defensive back.
You know, the best part about that Redskin game was the post-game conference. And it was wonderful by Kirk Cousins.
What all did he say? Just that it's still RG3's team and all that shit?
He basically held the conference like you want a quarterback to hold a conference that lost the game. He was like, overall the team played great. You know, I had a few turnovers here or there, things I can improve on, blah, blah, blah. But overall, you know, I felt like the team played great. Defense played, you know, we just was one turnover away from that, you know, just like he held the conference like you would want him to.
Yeah.
And then Shanahan had the worst press conference in the world. I think he just walked out during one of the questions. He didn't even finish the interview.
Yeah, the thing is also, like, Kirk Cousins is under no illusions that that's not his team.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, he didn't even try to be like, well, you know, we don't know who the quarterback is. I'm just trying to play my – he's like, it's Robert's team. So, yep.
But as Robert, that's what you want him to do. You want him to be like, you know, yeah, I had the turnover. I'm still getting the groove of things. But, you know, we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, I'm saying the reason he's saying that, and brace yourself, Redskins fans, he's saying it because he want to leave. Like, he not saying this shit because it's like out of any good, like, oh, you know, this is what a starting quarterback should sound like. He's saying this shit because he like, somebody please come take me away.
Right.
So I'm going to say everything it takes to distance myself from this team. So even in this win, he's like, it ain't my team at all. It's Robert's team. I'm just a quarterback today. I'm just trying to get out of here.
I think he's trying to audition. He's going to say all the right words.
Yeah.
So another team can say, oh, I like that.
You're right.
Oh,
he might as well just show up and be like, I'm white.
Yeah.
Everybody, I don't know if you guys know, I don't have dreadlocks.
I don't fight dogs.
I'm a white man. I like to play Parcheesi.
I have my education.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm married, have a family.
Yeah, my favorite TV show is The Wire.
I like taking long walks on the beach.
I like black people. Yes. I work with them every day.
I don't use that N-word. Just mm-hmm. terrible word.
No, my inspirations are Matt Schaub. Other quarterbacks who got paid for not being black.
Yeah, I volunteer with the LGBTQ community center in my neighborhood.
Yeah,
my community.
One of my best friends is gay, so I had him at I went to his gay wedding. So. Just please, somebody come save me. Because he's seen how they did RG3. He don't want to be around that shit.
Nobody, I don't think anybody wants to be there.
Yeah, nobody wants that job for sure, you know? So, yeah. Vic, yeah, just refresh your screen and it should come up in a minute. I'll add you back. But, yeah, nobody wants that job, dog. So Kirk Cousins had a good game. Also, he did what we always say the backup quarterback does. Get the rock to the man. Pierre Garçon, 129 yards, one touchdown, seven catches. That's what backup quarterbacks do, dog. They just come in there and they be like, why am I even fucking around trying to read these defenses and find these open receivers when I could just throw the ball to the man every time? So,
yep. I watch him in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I see nobody can check him. I'm watching the game every week. I see who can't stop him.
Yeah. Matt Ryan had another great game. 210 yards, touchdown, pick. So good for him.
I guess if you call it, he won.
It's one of his best games of the year, as far as I'm concerned. So good for him, man. Not even gonna take that away from Matt.
But and again, it goes back to me. Maybe it's just me, just being that Carolina Panthers fan. It shows that these quarterbacks cannot play without a number one receiver. He had two number one receivers, mm-hmm. and even just the one went down, he still hasn't played well. And so that shows you why Cam is the man.
You think Gonzalez coming back next year?
Oh, no, he's gone.
That's the thing, man. He could have left this year, and he didn't want to get traded. And I wonder if he could do that over again, if he would stay or if he'd leave, because he might be at that age. Well, nigga just tired of moving, bro. Like, he might be at that I don't give a fuck old man age where he just like, look, I like Atlanta. My kids go to school here. My wife is in several social circles around. You know, we like going out. We got our favorite restaurant that we go to on Tuesdays. Like, because that seemed like he gave up. Remember when they were like, trade deadline comes up in like 2 weeks. Julio Jones out for the season. Tony Gonzalez try to find, you know, other teams are interested. And they floated like some good teams too, like the Chiefs are interested and shit like that. And he was like, nope, don't even ask me. So he might be done, man. I don't mean like retired. He might be done on some like, look, man, I just want to stay here. Like, I'll play again next year, but just, I don't want to leave. I'd rather lose with y'all than win with somebody else.
Man, I don't know. It might be worth it to me for 6 months to get me an apartment in the downtown area somewhere.
I say downtown Boston.
And get me a ring.
Dog, go play with New England.
I in theory, that sounds good, but they keep injuring all their tight ends.
Mm.
And I want to go somewhere with a tight ends have longevity.
That's not true. They only injured one tight end.
Two. Amendola get hurt every other week.
Amendola not tight end. One tight end injures people. And the other one gets injured. There's a big difference.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know that I would go there. They have issues with their tight end.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And Madola, they say him across the middle more than the tight end.
They do say him across the middle. He's not a tight end.
Oh, I feel bad.
I know he'd be mad as shit. Like, man, y'all know I'm injury prone.
I know I can't play a whole season.
You got these big ass dudes out here at tight end. Games. Y'all sending me across the middle?
Right. I ain't played a whole season since I came in the league. What the fuck is this? 49ers played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, beat the shit out of them. I don't really have anything to say about this.
Yeah, sorry, Shirley.
Yeah, at least, she said fuck Shiano, so I'm assuming that she's excited that he's one loss closer to losing his job, possibly.
Well, we know he only showed up for work. Yeah. Like, what, three times this year?
I mm-hmm. think he's ready to get fired. I think he wants to get that Texas job. I think for him, he's just like, go ahead, fire me. I'll just be a candidate at Texas.
I wonder if he could slide back into that, because I feel like Texas is going to have a better candidate than him,
man,
before it gets to that.
NFL money just seems like it's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not dealing with recruiting. I don't have to worry about curfew unless I got Dez Bryant. Like, it just seems like it's so much easier.
The only caveat I will put on that statement is that if it's the Texas job, it don't get no easier. The Texas job, like Texas job, you don't even got to do recruiting.
They do. That's one of the reasons they said they was upset with Mac Brown, because he was losing Texas players.
I feel like if it's Texas and, you know, you're a coach that people respect, well, okay, you're right. It would be very difficult. Nobody respects Greg Schiano. Yeah. I take it back.
He seemed like one of the coaches.
Because I was talking to my boys last night, and I was like, you know who they should get for the Texas job? What would be the best fit? Would be if they get Mike Tomlin. Yeah, I feel like he would he'd immediately become a top five recruiter in college just because he's the coolest nigga on the planet. And he'll just show up to your house and you'll be like, where do I sign?
I feel like Texas would want him, but I don't know that he would want
him.
I don't think he wants
the job.
I don't think anyone in NFL would want that job. Like,
Shiano will.
I mean, ridiculously. I mean, Shiano. But they were trying to say Harbaugh. I mean, like,
Shanahan will take it.
He might. I don't think Shanahan will take it.
He's
the NFL or nothing.
How many coaches are going to use that Texas opening as long as it's open to get a raise, though?
Yeah, I think that's what's going on.
Like everybody, even Saban said he never even talked to him.
Did you see?
He just got that raise though. He was just like, I ain't talked to him, but you know, add two more million on
Texas A&M coach got that raise too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody like, you know, I could go out over there to Texas, see what they talk. Oh, y'all go. Oh, so y'all go meet the number. Okay. That's fine. Then I won't. I'll just hang up my phone.
It's
right
not
now.
Even the, it's the agent. Cause mm-hmm. I know they have agents.
Oh, for sure. Seattle beat the shit out of the Giants, man. The Giants didn't even score.
Seattle back?
Yeah, Eli Manning threw five picks.
And this is the second time this year that they've been, you know, shut out. You know,
this is quite possibly Seattle's last game on the road until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
it'll be back in New York.
Right.
Well, like, they just smashed the team.
That, like, that is insane. So yeah, beware. Those motherfuckers are scary as shit.
And they're doing without their best cornerback, Browner, who is going, well, not second best, who got, you know, obviously now he's his appeal.
Yeah.
And his appeal just got denied. I felt bad for him because, you know, I mean, he was stupid. I mean, at the end of the day,
I didn't feel bad for him. He was taking all the drugs.
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, he, you know, but the NFL, people don't realize though that the NFL drug, policy and their, you know, performance enhancing policy are two different things. Yeah. So he did, you know, test positive for a performance enhancement. That's different from drugs. And so with the drug substance abuse policy, he got docked once because he did not show up for drug testing policy. But this is when he was in the CFL. And so this is when the second go around, this is where he got a year where he should have really just gotten four games.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for him at all.
I don't know. I think the NFL is just being, the process in it was fair. I mean, he was stupid. Because at the end of the day, like I always said, I love me some chicken. I love me some watermelon. Okay, you know, I'm going into my stereotype.
Right, you love yourself some, you love you some red Kool-Aid. You love yourself some menthol cigarettes. I know what you're saying.
I know Newports.
You love yourself a big fat white woman. But go ahead.
Oh, God, yes.
That guy, yes, was too good. It was too believable. Oh, God. The times I had with Sally Mae.
But if my contract said I could not eat any of those things, I cannot date my big draws girl, I would not do it.
Right.
Because I'm getting paid that much money not to. So, I mean, there's a lack of discipline.
And that's why you can't go in certain neighborhoods. Yeah, right. You're not black enough.
You're not black enough. But here's the thing. I don't feel sorry for him because he was stupid. So that's
pretty
much
contract year too.
He was stupid. Like it's hard for me to drum up some like sympathy for stupid people. But what I will say is the fucking Seahawks went up there and dismantled these dudes, and Russell Wilson didn't even have a good game, quote unquote. Like he wasn't even in put up four touchdowns mode. He only threw one touchdown. Like he was like, and I did notice. And this might just be like, I'm overanalyzing it because I feel like he's so good. I did notice he was taking a couple hits this game. And I don't know if that was just disrespect to the Giants. Like, y'all niggas can't hurt me. Cause he normally don't do that. Like, he normally will just like let you get to that point right when you're about to hit him. He'll just go out of bounds or slide so you can't get a good hit on him. And, I noticed in this game, man, he was like trying to break a couple tackles, trying to do moves on people and shit. I was like, Russell, that must be the black side coming out.
I think it's because they lost that game, and people was like, oh, well, you remember we talked about it, and he should have ran more. And I think other people throughout the week started to say he should have ran more.
He did this game. He only ran eight times, but this was 50 yards because he was gashing dudes, man. Yeah. Like, he was trying to get them extra yards.
And then he was like, well, what better team than the Giants?
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here, G-Man.
Explain to me this, man. Why have the Giants run through seven running backs? Because of fumble problems, turnovers, and injuries. But Eli Manning keep playing. Nobody think Eli Manning should take a seat, dog. Like, even if you pull the Mike Shanahan okey-doke and say, my starting quarterback, just, you know, we don't want to risk him for the rest of the season. They can't even pull that dude. He threw five picks. He only had 156 yards.
It's all the reason they coach needs to remain their coach.
Well, I mean, my thing is, too, who are you going to replace Eli Manning for?
Painter, who they actually spent a high draft pick on, last year.
But, I mean, Eli Manning is a two-time MVP.
Season of what? Why you risk hurting him? That's what Rod's saying, is that if you're going to do the Shanahan move, season of what, don't risk hurting your two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. Then put one of these other guys out.
I don't think you can ever compare any move Mike Shanahan's done. I mean, this is the same guy that took out Donovan McNabb in the last 2 minutes of the job to put in Rex Grossman. I mean, you know.
I believe Jed Jackson already kind of covered this back in the day when it comes to Eli Manning. I understand he got 2 Super Bowl rings. I understand that he got a couple Super Bowl MVPs and everything. And that's cool. You know what I'm saying? But what has he done for us lately?
It's why their coach is their coach and why they shouldn't replace him. Because you don't hear them in the news with this back and forth, what should be going on, what's going on with your quarterback.
You know what? That's a good point.
He handles all that shit. This
is a good reason why you can't fire Coughlin, because they haven't had any leaks and all that shit. And this on the low, this is like this isn't like before when it was like, well, they've had some bad years, but, you know, they come back strong the next year. This is like their second or third pretty bad year in a row.
Yeah, they've just been terrible. Awful. This has been, we don't even want to watch their games terrible.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
Like, at least a Washington game, you'll watch it to be like, well, maybe Robert will do something this game. Maybe. With Eli, you know what's going to happen every single game.
Yeah.
But it's the reason you keep him as a coach, man. Like, you can't, those are things, those are the other things, that tangibles you can't buy.
That's a good point. They are keeping that locker room in check, and that's a very underrated skill. But they are terrible.
Yeah, because, I mean, if it would have been the Jets, I mean, they would have already came out, leaked information that, you know, players, you know, unnamed source, a player went up to one of the guys and said he doesn't like Eli Manning.
Right.
And, you know, he's giving up the playbooks and secrets to the Jets and how to beat them.
Yeah,
David Wilson says he could have played, even though they set him down. Yeah.
But, you know, it's a guy during the game, he put money on that game that the Giants wouldn't get shut out, and if they did, like, he would pay like 500 people like $30,000.
What?
Something like that. Yes.
Wow.
And of course the Giants got shut out and he had to come out with that money.
I wonder if he paid them. So the Eagles played the Vikings, and really nothing to talk about here. Matt Castle is back. We knew that he was better than the other quarterbacks. Josh Freeman, nowhere to be seen.
I have to give Josh Freeman his props.
Because he got paid.
He got $3 million. Not even to be a backup.
Just to come out one game, play terrible.
And that's it.
Didn't
even learn the playbook, man. Like, what's that? He ain't worried about nothing.
Yeah.
You know, he got $3 million on top of that. Just to sit back and chill.
But Matt Asiata played this game and had 3 touchdowns and replacing Adrian Peterson. It took him, he got 51 yards, 3 touchdowns. It took him 30 rushing attempts to get that.
30 carries.
I don't even know what the math is on the yards per rush with that. It's not even close to 2. Like, that's pretty bad.
Like, I think I could have done that. And I'm not talking about like at my tip-top shape. I'm talking about when I walk up the stairs, I get tired shape.
Nick Foles had a pretty good game. What surprised me here, the Eagles only ran the ball 8 times, and I was like, is Andy Reid back? Because this is not what Chip Kelly does. Like, Chip Kelly typically gets LeSean McCoy between 15 and 25 carries consistently every single game.
And he's leading the league in rushing.
Yeah. So this is really weird to watch.
It wasn't for me. You know, one of the things when I did play fantasy football is I would always pick the Vikings D against a team with a good running back, because they used to playing against one of the greatest running backs right now of our time. Mm-hmm. And once you have to guard against other running backs, it's not even challenging.
Can you imagine practicing hitting
Adrian Peterson every week, then they have to go against LeSean McCoy?
But I'm just saying, like, if I'll just run it down, 18. 15, those are in losses, by the way, 12 in a win, 25, 20, 19, 29. Those are his last 4 games, rushing attempts coming into this game. And he only got 8. That just seems so low, man.
And like, I think, though, but the game got so out of hand so early that they had, in Chip Kelly's mind, he had to pass the ball. Because, to me, I think LeSean McCoy is a scat back where he can, I mean, the way he cuts on a drop, on a dime, I mean, like, LeSean McCoy plays, like, he's sort of the guy that we expected Reggie Bush to be. And, you know, so he's that guy who can take the ball and just score off one carry. And, you know, but the game got so out of control that they just kept throwing the ball, throwing the ball. And then he was pissed off after that. McCoy came out after and said he wants the team to be built around him.
Yeah, passing the ball is cool and shit, but it definitely ain't what got Philly where it is right now.
Yeah,
right?
That's a panic move when you didn't need to panic. That's
right.
And I don't know if that's, like you said, that's a rookie coach mistake. Like, oh, he panicked too soon, or... Like, it's not even the fourth quarter yet, and you're not passing the ball.
Like, eight attempts for the... Like, I guarantee when he saw that at the end of the game, it was like, we really only ran it eight times?
He saw it at halftime. He saw it during the second half when they brought him to know. I mean, the second quarter.
Yeah, a good coach should see that early. I don't know how, you know, like you said, he's a rookie, so it might have just been a mistake. Or maybe he just felt that pressure looking at that scoreboard, like, we ain't getting no stops.
The people in the booth needed to say something to him. His people in the booth, his assistants are in the booth watching the game, but like, hey, the defense look like they line up in this. You might want to audible this or do that. Like, that are in his ear. They're in his ear also telling him, hey, you've only ran the ball once the first quarter.
And you can shut this shit down, though, by running the ball, which a lot of coaches don't understand or don't take advantage of, but... If the other team is scoring on you easily, run the ball. Yep. Take them off the field with the clock, you know, time management. Like, don't just be like, fuck it, man. We need to throw three long passes and get a touchdown. Like, nah, man, just start running the clock down, and they won't be able to score because they won't be on the field as long.
Man, it's one of the other reasons why Washington has always sucked in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It's because the first two quarters, they couldn't get the offense off the field. And so then in the fourth quarter, they tired. And when you tired, that's when those running backs and when the receivers running those long routes, they getting ate up because you tired at that point. You can't go step for step.
Dolphins played the Patriots. And like I told y'all on the show, without Gronk, it's a wrap. It's a wrap, dog. Like Tom Brady out here throwing picks and shit to end the game. Terrific Tom, clutch Tom Brady throwing picks. It wasn't even like, some miraculous, like when they threw that pick against the Panthers, like you can make an argument like, oh, it was this, that, and the other. No argument to be made after this one. He just threw a fucking pick.
I mean, but he just still did throw for over 350 yards.
Yeah, congratulations.
He passed it 55 Brady. Times, though.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Tom Brady.
55 passes?
Yeah.
You know, he had the ice up after that game.
They not Tom Brady numbers.
I mean, you know, I think you do. You miss that big guy that they had. Even with him and, you know, I can't stop killing Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they whoa, miss whoa, those two.
We don't slander.
Yeah, first of all, Hernandez might not even have done it.
Yeah, we
so
don't.
So let's not even jump to conclusions.
we don't, not in this room.
Yeah, not on this show. So if you're listening, Aaron Hernandez, we here at Balls Deep officially believe in innocent until proven guilty.
Yep, free Hernandez.
So, you know, good, you know, okay. Good luck with your case, brother.
Free A-Ron.
Okay, all right, I understand innocent until proven guilty, but Hernandez, if you're listening, you're a little suspicious. You got some answers to that question.
Let's be clear, that's not Justin or Ron.
That is Vic. Justin and Ron have no, I don't feel any suspicion towards you, brother.
Yes, sir, we don't.
No,
y'all not going to protect me.
Hell no. Have you been seeing what's happening to the witnesses in this face? Fuck no, I don't want none of this.
We tried to save you just now.
Yeah, you don't want to be saved. Go ahead, keep talking about me.
I think, you know, I want to stay here with you,
right? But, I just think Tom, he needs help like any other quarterback, man. And people just been glossing over it because they just act like having the number one tight end don't matter, or number two or three, you know, depending on how you feel about Jimmy Graham. Having Aaron Hernandez didn't matter. Like, all the shit matters. And eventually you wear a dude out when you keep acting like you can replace his receivers with anybody. It's not true.
Let's be clear too. He's not throwing the best passes in the world either.
Mm-hmm.
He out here throwing ducks.
But I will say, I have to commend, was it Edelman? you know, he has almost 90 yards, not 90 catches, and he, you know, he's looking at a 1,000-yard season. I mean, he's doing some other things that Welker used to do. I mean, he's still, to me, he's a broke version of Welker. I mean, Welker
he was is broke a lot, broke bones, broken routes. Like he's not, he's not as good as what they. It's just,
I mean, he's a quarterback.
It's a downgrade in quality every year for Tom Brady, and people just are ignoring it. Because we keep saying it's Tom Brady, but you're ignoring also the fact that they ain't won the fucking Super Bowl in 10 years. And like, it matters.
And that's partly his fault, too. He went and got that big contract and then was like, y'all not going to take care of Welker? He should have. If, anything I learned from Michael Jordan is Jordan made sure his support was paid.
Right.
Then he was like, now give me my motherfucking money before I resign.
I do have to correct you on this. You know, Brady recently did, I think before the season, sign a restructured deal. So I mean, I think his last few years, he's taking restructured deal. I think the problem with the Patriots is this. The Patriots, you know, when someone wants a contract, they pull out the middle finger. And, you know, my screen is out. But can you do, can you show the middle finger? They show their middle finger and they just say, you know what, fuck you. You go to someone else and let them pay you. And they let Welker go. I mean, Welker was a reliable receiver. He was a guy who could take over a game. And I think that's what they miss. With Gronk, he was a guy that could take over a game. Like, he could change the game. He can take over. And they don't have that.
I guess what I'm saying, though, because it's kind of the same thing, though, is that it's been a very slow degradation in talent on this team.
Yeah.
And people have ignored it because the myth of Tom Brady is so powerful. People just are pretending not to notice that you know, cutting it this close with your talent and being one injury away from just being a sorry ass team. Offensively, or you know,
that weak division though too,
right? That's part of it. But like,
guaranteed 8 wins.
And he has a good coach, but having that myth where it's just like Tom Brady can do anything with any receivers. It doesn't even matter who. And it's like, well, now y'all are seeing it does matter when you throwing that pick. Little shit like that happens when you don't have a receiver that can, you know, get open on talent.
And they did lose two of their players too, with you know, defensive tackle Vincent Wilfork and what's my other man name, the linebacker.
I know who you're talking about.
So
real good dude. Just got him.
He's led the league and like he's led the league in tackle.
I'm just saying, had Brady went to the ownership and was like, you know, hey, take care of Welker. I'm going to take less, but you got to take care of Welker first before I restructure my deal. Mm-hmm. They would have made it happen.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't even know what that organization, if they listen to him like that. That's part of the organization's like build up makeup is that they don't cater to any superstar type talent or players.
I mean, he had to word it differently. He can't go in that strong arm. But
I feel like that's what's wrong with the team, though, is like they don't value any of that loyalty.
Yeah, they don't.
And for years they were getting props for it, but now you're starting to see they're not winning Super Bowls anymore. Not able to cheat and look at other people's plays as much.
Yeah, I mean,
all of a sudden it's like, are we really gonna say that? You know, they would have listened to Tom Brady. I feel like Tom Brady really campaigned hard for Wes Welker.
Yeah, and I think he did.
And they shut him down for that shit.
And I could see them, Tom Brady, going up to him and saying, you know what? You know, I would really greatly appreciate if you brought back Welker. I could see the pictures going, oh, can you say that again?
Right. Robert Kraft in there having a scotch with Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Like, he said it again.
Put his hand on Tom Brady's shoulder. Yeah. Tom, listen, what's done?
Or no, probably doing an Uncle Phil and jazz on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Throwing him out. Yeah. And saying we restructuring your deal too.
If I'm Brady, I shut it down for the season.
It's too late now, but he should have when he had that choice. The Texans lost to the Colts. Not much to say here.
They suck.
Yeah, Texans are terrible. Andrew Luck didn't even really have a good game. 19 for 32, 180 yards. Okay.
Who are these two teams the Texans beat?
Right. What happened to y'all? I mean, I understand why they lost to the Patriots because the Patriots knew they played at that time, but this, I don't get it. The Browns played the Bears. Jay Cutler is so overrated. He's so overrated, man. Like, Alshon Jeffrey bailed him out on what should have been a pick. No exception. Like, how both of those Browns defenders missed, like, getting a pick on that, I don't understand. Like, it literally went over one of them's head and under the other dude's head. And Alshon Jeffrey made, like, a hell of a catch, but they were better off with McCown, and I think people they're gonna look back and regret this at some point.
I'm gonna say yes and no. I mean, because you gotta realize McCown has played with 30 different teams and has stunk it up with every one of them. So I mean, you do have to go with him. I mean, you know, Jay Cutler is a broke version of Brett Favre. He's a guy that's just gonna just throw it up in the air sometimes, but I think you got to go with him. He's your go-to.
I don't understand why Cutler playing for two teams matters any more than this dude playing for five teams in his career. If Cutler's still putting up shady ass weird stats, he leads the league in red zone interceptions. Threw another one in this game, by the way. He also, McCown was balling with the talent. He's never had this much talent around him. And, you know, sometimes that's the difference that it takes. You know, you get to a team where it's like, cool, I got wide receivers that are, you know, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey. I have Bennett as my tight end. I have Michael Bush and the other light-skinned dude as my running backs. Like, he's never had this much talent, and he was doing well with it against better teams. These niggas almost lost to the fucking Browns, man.
Well, the Browns are a good team, though.
They're 4-10.
Are still a good team.
Fuck that. I don't want to stop. No. 4-10. The Browns are not good, man. These niggas almost lost to the Browns because of Jay Cutler single-handedly, dog. Right? Jay Cutler is not. He's overrated, dog.
Forte had a good game, though.
Yeah, he did. But I mean, Cutler is one of those dudes that gets by on being white, and Matt Forte would have had a good game even under if McCown was under center.
But your boy Gordon, I mean, the Bears did shut him down, but this dude has been getting off. I mean,
oh, so he's a beast, yeah.
He's a beast. He is a beast.
3 for 67, one touchdown, and that's a bad game for him. He a beast. Raiders lost to the Chiefs. The Chiefs put up 56 on them. Jamal Charles single-handedly won a lot of people their fantasy football games, including me in the championship of the Blackout Tips League. Where I had 180 fantasy points to only 80 from the
who'd
team.
Who'd you play?
My man Paul Hills on Twitter. Woke up that morning.
I wish you congratulations and everything.
First tweet from him was talking shit. Said he was going to whoop my ass if I was ready for this ass whooping. And I said, am I playing you? He said, yeah. And I said, all right, cool. And I went and looked at my stats, and I did them Steve Harvey eyes and was like, whoa. I think I got 180 points, and you only have like 70 right now. So, nice game though. Panthers beat the Jets. Not much to see here. Just another good team that's trying to become elite.
The only thing I was a little worried about though is the Jets were moving the ball a little too good, well, than they should have.
Yeah, but you know, that's just one of those moments where you can't tell if Geno Smith is stupid or smart. Yeah.
Hey man, I will say this though, they drop a lot of fucking passes for Geno.
Oh yeah,
right in the chest.
Like I said, like I know we keep making the joke, but I absolutely believe it. I can't tell if he's stupid or smart because like shit like this when you watch him, you're like, that's not really his fault.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's not really all on him. But then he'll do something where it's like, he'll backpedal out of bounds. He's like, why didn't you throw the ball away? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can't tell if he's stupid or smart.
And it's crazy because he only threw like three or four picks in college. I mean, he had almost, what was it, 60 touchdowns?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, his numbers were crazy.
He got a, how did he learn all that and he looked like that? Don't make sense, man.
But I mean, you know, again, and this is why we were talking about with Box, and I know we're going to talk about this later, is that's why I do like knowing their personal life a little bit more, because you can tell, I mean, because, you know, they talked about him in the NFL draft, and they said Geno Smith was texting other players while he was talking to the scouts and talking to the general managers. He's on Facebook and Twitter while he's talking. So I was like, dude, you talking about $30 million and you on Facebook trying to talk. Look, if you're trying to get a booty call from Twitter right now, you ain't going to get this booty call if they don't draft you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and so he just doesn't get it sometimes. At one point, Geno Smith makes these stupid moves where he just looks stupid. And then the other and so I'm not surprised that he's playing the way he's playing when I hear, mm-hmm. and you hear all these things coming up to the draft.
I don't know. When I watch it, I'm surprised. And I try not to know too much about people's personal lives, because with fantasy football, you have to be a hard, cold, calculating killer. You can't be sitting around talking about, well, you know, he's a nice guy and he takes his mom shopping on Sundays, because that shit will kill you. You draft that dude two rounds too early. Next thing you know, you lose and fuck that shit.
I'm looking forward to this Sunday when the Panthers play the Saints.
That's the game of the week.
I really want the Panthers to whoop their ass.
Yep, because everybody was acting like the Panthers were dead after they lost to the Saints in New Orleans. And I was like, this doesn't mean shit yet. It takes 2 weeks for this to mean something. If they lose to the Saints in 2 weeks, then this game was huge. If they beat the Saints in 2 weeks, well, this shit never happened.
My reasons are all the way different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just like to be able to brag about Cam Newton at the YMCA.
Oh, nah. First of all, what you think this is about? I ain't no Panthers fan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it ain't never gone far. It ain't never gone from that for me. You see, the white dudes don't even show up no more.
Yeah, that's
because I was giving them the business. That day I called them racist, and I was like, y'all supposed to be Panthers fans. Y'all come in here talk shit about this black man every week while he winning? I was like, well, if he beat so-and-so and so-and-so, then those account. He beat them niggas stopped showing up. I said, y'all some fucking racist haters.
Really what it's about.
And then when DeLome was doing all that stuff, they were loving him.
So, yeah, man, these fools tried to defend DeLome in my face while talking shit about Cam Newton.
And my thing was when the Panthers was, the newspapers put that, instead of putting Superman sign that he had a kitty sign. And it's just like, dude, really? Now, if Cam pulls a LeBron James and goes to Atlanta,
won't
where
even
he's
blame
from,
him.
And burns it, everyone's going to be pissed off.
Won't even blame him.
I love Cam Newton.
Me too.
I love him because, again, time after time, he does not have a number one receiver.
Nah. He's taking his
Smith is
to
running
South Beach.
With a cane. He cannot.
If he fucked around and did go to Atlanta with fucking Julio Jones and Roddy White and Tony
Gonzalez.
I'd cry because
I'm still going to be a Panther. I'd cry.
Yeah, but that nigga would be in a Super Bowl right now.
He's going to South Beach. He's going to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He might.
He do want to be there. He keep talking about LeBron doing like basketball celebration at his touchdowns. Like, I can see it happening.
Yep.
The Packers played the Cowboys.
Oh. How about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys?
It was so good to see the Romoceptions flowing. And, that's not what I want to do. It was starting to be that time of the year, guys. It's getting to December. Sugar plums are dancing in the minds of little kids as they go to bed. Candy canes all over the place. Christmas presents under the tree, Christmas lights outside decorating the houses.
Snowing.
People singing carols, and the Cowboys blowing it in the fourth quarter of big games. Ah, Christmas time is so good. My man Tony Romo had the audible heard around the world where DeMarco Murray was averaging 7 yards a carry for the entire game, gashing these fools. The first half, they were up so much, it was like, this game is over. And they started getting walked down because they refused to run the ball in the second half, which, you know, partially goes on the coach. Mm-hmm. I know the coach trying to avoid this, but
he blamed it all on one play.
Yeah, he tried to talk about one play like they didn't throw the ball all them other plays in the third and the fourth quarter. Nah, dog. You can't escape the rain.
And, you know, Tony Romo's the kind of guy who's going to get Halle Berry to bed.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take all the clothes off. He's going to get to that point, and right before he's about to score, he's going to tell her breath stinks or something. He's going to do something that just messes it up, and she gets out of her clothes and she leaves. He's that kind of guy who cannot seal the deal.
I will say, though, he's a nice guy. Like you said, Vic, you know, you want to know personalized.
Class act.
He's a very classy dude, so, you know, I got to support him. It's not his fault.
Yeah, off the field matters to us.
You know, he did date Jessica Simpson, who thought that chicken in the sea was actually chicken.
Well, I mean, that's all the better for him. Like, he went got a dumb chick he can manipulate.
A chicken never seen head.
You know, he didn't get the smart girl, so that I'm surprised. I'm not surprised when he makes these dumb decisions.
But he didn't marry her, though. Now, if he'd have married her, then you could say that's okay. a stupid
he
decision.
He threw two picks, and they both was in the fourth. And he actually got bailed out on that one pick because they tried to say it moved around the dude's hand. It was like, oh, it moved when it hit the ground, but it was only moving because the dude switched hands. Like, oh, let me put it to my left hand so I could jump up and run.
Yep.
So he really threw three. But yeah, typical Cowboys, man. If they lose this week, they're out of it pretty much. But if they win, then, the Eagles and them have a showdown in the last week of the season.
Man, I can't believe the Eagles. Y'all had your own destiny.
Mm-hmm. But you know, we don't like to do it easy. Like, do everything the hard way. Shout out to DeMarco Murray, man. 134 yards on 18 carries. Should have been, like, 220 yards on 27 carries.
Now, he the one should have been walking out, leaving the game early.
Yeah, that's typical Cowboys shit. They try to make it about some other shit instead of admitting that they lost because their quarterback and coaching is terrible. They had to be like, if Dez Bryant would have stayed on the field instead of walking into the locker room early, the game was over. What they got to do with anything?
Stand on the field and watch what?
Yeah, watch y'all congratulate the other team.
I mean, but I do understand what they're saying is that, look, if that's the case, then let's say everyone starts leaving that way then.
You don't got to jump to extremes. Just keep it real. In the terms of this loss,
okay,
that is not a discussion that affected the systematic problems with the Cowboys that they have had for years.
But
they would much rather talk about Dez Bryant. They talk about the real problem, which is they owner is too hands on.
I know.
And they don't want to get rid of, Tony Romo and admit that that's not going to work. And they don't want to admit that Jason Garrett either A, doesn't have control over Tony Romo, or he's a bad coach.
I mean, yeah.
And those are three things that are way more important than Dez Bryant walking away. But if you ask, your average Cowboys fan after that game, what the problem was, they'd be like, Dez Bryant walking away.
He quit on the team.
Yeah, he quit on the team. You can't do that. He cussing people out. Like,
so he didn't quit when he got them 153 yards.
Yeah, when he bailed Tony out with that what should have been a pick touchdown in the end zone where Tony underthrew him.
Yep.
And he had to grab behind a defender's head like, let me get that.
I agree. I mean, you know, this all starts back on Jerry Jones. This is his fault. I mean, he fired defensive coordinator who I thought did a great job with an injured Pat, and he hired Kiffin, who has done an awful, horrible
job. What you pay for.
I mean, this is like, you know, this is again goes back to playing with Rob in basketball. It's like letting a dude like that run your team, you know. And so it's just Jerry Jones needs to fire himself. Someone's gonna have to. You know, it's probably going to be like Oakland Raiders, you're going to see a change with them after Al Davis dies. It's just when Jerry Jones dies, then we'll see, they'll win a championship.
Yeah, they suspect the shit, dog. Like, it's routine at this point. Like, it's become a joke because it is what happens every year, man. I know Cowboys fans, like, I feel like Cowboys fans are the only fan base where you go from being like, fuck y'all, I hate y'all, because you come to Thanksgiving, you talk shit about my team, y'all, you keep bringing up them old-ass dusty rings. Mm-hmm. And then you watch them on the couch during this game, and you watch them just live through all the, like, post-traumatic stress disorder that they've had from December's over the last 15 years, and you do feel like a twinge in your heart of sadness, like, damn. This like, you like that chick that talks shit about Beyonce, but it's cause your man cheating on you. And you don't want to talk about that nigga. That's why you talk shit about Beyonce. That, to me, that's what the Cowboys fans are. Like, they talk a whole lot of shit them first 3 months of the season to avoid this. Cause they know this is coming and they don't want to admit it, man. You know,
here's the thing though, as an unbiased sports analyst,
mm-hmm.
I hope they keep the system they currently have in place.
Oh, nah, as a biased sports fan.
I'm unbiased.
I mean, as a dude that don't want the Cowboys to win the division, I prefer this.
Right. Like
I hope they don't change shit, but it is, I mean, it's sad, man, talking to Cowboys fans.
Redskins and Eagles fans in the NFC East, yeah, you guys would love to have this system the same way.
Yeah, just keep this system.
Cardinals beat the Titans. good for them.
Actually,
Cardinals about to, you know, Cardinals doing pretty good in that division on the low.
Yeah, and it's not good for Carolina because, mm-hmm. you know, if Carolina loses and then they win next week, they're tied for that wild card spot.
Yep.
And I believe the Cardinals have the tiebreaker because of the head-to-head matchup.
Well,
the Cardinals won't be winning this game.
Cardinals defense is trill, but them niggas going up to Seattle, so peace. Yeah.
So thank you, Seattle. Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and thank you early as a Carolina Panthers fan. Thank you, Russell. Thank you, them. You know, Browner, who, you know, failed your drug test. Fuck you. But thank you to the guys who are going to beat the Cardinals so my Carolina Panthers can make it to the playoffs.
The Saints lost to the Rams on the road. Saints on the road,
got
suspect.
Whipped.
Saints on the road, are suspect.
Whipped. I mean, not, but that wasn't that. They just got whipped.
Yeah. Don't know how many more ways I could tell people this, but yeah, Saints on the road are absolutely suspect. So, yeah, just pay attention to that. Vic, just refresh your screen. But, pay attention to that because they got to go play the Panthers on the road. The Panthers have a much better defense than the Rams and a much better offense, in my opinion, too.
And hopefully they feel salty about that mm-hmm. spanking they took
mm-hmm.
and they want some get back.
Steelers beat the Bengals. It doesn't really matter because the Steelers are out of the playoffs, but it does matter because Steelers out of playoffs and they still beat Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is fucking terrible.
Yeah, he really is. And that's why people were saying, oh, you know, Andy Dalton is better than Cam Newton. You know,
right.
He has the intangibles. He knows how to win. Cam Newton does. Okay, he has AJ Green.
I wouldn't let Andy Dalton take my daughter out on a date, let alone lead my football team. What's wrong with these people, man? What are y'all watching?
He fucking it up for on gingers, man.
Yeah, he really is. He sent a lot of redhead people back, man.
I mean, Eric Cartman is really probably laughing at him. Like,
yeah.
So hard.
So, he he's terrible. Gingers. Not much to say there. Last game, Ravens played the Lions. Legatron.
Oh, man. I saw this game. Ow. How do you lose by all field goals? I mean, it's a 60-yard field. I mean, now, they are Tony Romo's. Actually, the Lions probably get away from Dallas with not being able to seal the deal. I mean, they know how to fuck it up.
The difference is with the Lions and the Cowboys.
Tell me what's the difference, because I need to hear this.
The difference is with the Lions and the Cowboys, okay. Lions fans don't talk shit. They talk shit about their own team the entire season. Like, man, we'll be lucky to even win 5 games. Like, Lions fans will never believe in themselves. Like, I've never even met a Lions fan that told me they were a favorite to win the Super Bowl ever.
Yep. Well, I mean, they've been losing for so long.
Even Jamele Hill be like, she keep it honest with her team.
Yeah, all Lions fans are like, typical Lions, this is what we do. You know, Matthews, like, Lions fans will talk down to you about their team. Like, you'll be like, man, y'all looking pretty good, man. You know, Calvin Johnson's about to set the record for most receiving yards and most. And then they'd be like, man, look, Matthew Stafford is terrible. Reggie Bush going to get hurt. You like, damn,
or
nigga.
Fumble.
Yeah, right. You like, don't you care about your team? It's like, man, we terrible, bro.
They
watch the game.
Ways to turn the ball over. I mean, and they have messed. They had their dynasty was. I mean, this is the best time for them to make it to the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers out, with them having a hard time, and you know, so this is the best chance for them to do it, and it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. So, but Matthew Stafford is terrible. Nobody wants to talk about it. I didn't believe it, but now that I've seen the game, Megatron must be an old man, because that Elam dude was like, you old.
He put up 100 yards, though.
He had 98 yards.
But he had three key drops, so I have to say, he had three key drops. All that were first down drops. And that two-point conversion he missed, I will say, I mean, it was a tough catch, but it's Megatron. We call him Megatron.
And I'm not going to give him any slack. Because the dude, I have to respect the dude that calls his shot. When Matt Elam says, look, man, this dude is an old ass man and I'm about to show the world, and you are able to, you know, keep him relatively in check for Calvin Johnson, I do have to say, yeah, you the man.
And he did catch the last pick. He caught the pick that sealed the deal.
Yeah, so, I have to give him his props because if Calvin Johnson would have had 225 yards, I would have sure been getting in his ass today. So I can't even be like, I'm not even going to pretend like I would have been any other way. I would have been like, this nigga a bum. This why you don't talk shit about Megatron. He ain't trying to hurt nobody. He just want to play his game. But, nah, you held him without a touchdown. He only caught 6 passes for 98 yards. All right, cool.
And that's why I've been telling people about Megatron. I love his game. I love his personality. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, to be great, to be like the greats of the greats, you have to be a borderline dick. You have to be a jerk. To some extent, you have to be a jerk. You saw
LeBron blanking on Mario Chalmers.
Yeah, you saw him do that. You got to have that tenacity. I mean, even Jerry Rice, they said Jerry Rice didn't. Jerry Rice wouldn't demand the ball, but he would tell Joe Montana, look, I'm running this route right here. No shit. You don't think Joe Montana knew, but he was letting them know, I want the ball. So, I mean, you got to have that. And I think Johnson just doesn't have it. And I love his personality. I think he's a stand-up dude, you know, but he has it. He doesn't have that swag. And that's what I think he's missing.
Speaking of having that swag, PJ Harrison's career is over at North Carolina.
Yeah, should have went to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should have just went to the draft, bro. Carolina fans can finally end their, wait till PJ get back. We can stop that now.
Man, that picture is terrible, too.
Dog, the picture of him sitting by himself on the bench.
Yes. Whoever would, put that with the story, genius. Because that picture is...
Yeah, it's trolling for sure, man. But,
and that's the only thing that sucks, too, about... I mean, that's one of the few things. See, with the NFL draft, because there's so many more players that's involved, you know, your draft, if you don't go in your junior year, you could be looking at being, losing about 30 spots. And you know that. But with the NBA, generally, your position is going to be really the same. Whether you stay in a year or you leave a year. But for this draft coming up, he's going to have a significant drop.
Yeah, he's about to drop possibly to the end of the first round, dog.
Man, I mean, might be a walk-on.
Yeah. I mean, he really is going to drop hard.
And, motherfuckers going to forget about how he was balling last year. And plus, he basically took a whole year off this year now.
Yep. And his character in the question. But, hey, if Cousins can get on the team, I mean, he good.
Yeah, Leslie McDonald was able to return to the team after missing 9 games. But PJ was not. PJ said, I made mistakes. I'm very disappointed by my actions. Roy Williams said, because, they don't let the college boys speak. PJ made mistakes, and I was very disappointed by his actions, and now he is suffering very difficult consequences. He is not a bad kid. He just made some mistakes.
Man, what else does Carolina have going on that they willing to just throw him to the wolves like that?
Listen, Carolina does. Carolina... If you do anything that comes close to endangering the basketball program, they excise you, dog. They cut your ass out of everything and they let you go. And that's basically what happened here. They've actually brought up rumors that, the dude who gave him, PJ, his, rental vehicles, Hayden Patrick Fats Thomas of Durham, possibly, has connections to other athletes in the UNC program.
Why is he going to Durham of all places? You in Chapel Hill where all the best stuff is at. You don't leave Chapel Hill to go to Durham. I don't know if anybody in the chat from North Carolina in that area, but that's like, man, that's like leaving New York to go to Cleveland to buy something. Why would you leave the city to go? Why would you go to Durham? They call it Dirty Durham.
Right.
That's his nickname.
Well, I've been there. I went to Durham a couple weeks back, a couple months back now, and they have gentrified it. Like, it looks pretty good downtown now and all that stuff. So maybe he thought that it was safe, but he was doing some shady shit there, man. So he's not going to be able to do it.
It's not that, man. It's like Chapel Hill is like our Ballantyne area. You know what I mean? Like, you don't go to Durham to get anything. You have it delivered because you're in Chapel Hill. But you're not messing with somebody from Durham. You mess with somebody from Chapel Hill who owns the dealership in Durham. Well, you know what I mean?
Athletic director Bubba Cunningham said, unfortunately, PJ made a number of mistakes that placed his eligibility at risk. And university's joint review with the NCAA made it clear that to seek a reinstatement for PJ was not possible. University thanks him for his contributions to Carolina basketball.
I wonder if he loses scholarships. Does that mean he got to pay for his next semester?
Probably. When a man named Bubba tells you that you gotta go, he probably doesn't give you a lot on the way out.
Yeah, he gotta pay. Man, I couldn't imagine paying for a semester of
I'll just drop out
of school at Chapel Hill.
But the thing I'm disappointed in, they waited this long. I mean, they should. I hope that they would have told PJ, that they would have told him, you know, privately and said, look, this is what we're not going to do. We're probably likely not going to file, help you get reinstatement if these things happen. Are you cool with that? Mm. And so, but if they didn't tell him that, I can't respect UNC for doing that.
Yeah, Sparger says that there's nothing in Chapel Hill. If you want a car, you go to Durham.
Only thing in Durham is Duke. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Durham has the, they got like 2-3 malls. They got, yeah, like, you know, Chapel Hill is a smaller, rich town. But, right, that's what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't leave your safe haven to go somewhere else, mm-hmm. where it's Duke country at that point.
And Black Zod, is that, and you know, talk to people in the chat room. So is that that you want to know more about the little fight or GIF with Miami, or is it just that?
Oh, she said, okay. Oh, no, she needs the GIF, okay. The animated GIF of LeBron James, Mario Chalmers.
Okay, I have to check that out, too.
Quote-unquote fight. It wasn't really a fight,
yeah,
by the way.
No, but, yeah.
All right, so arrested fugitive was married to Jalen Rose's brother. A woman who eluded Texas authorities for nearly 4 decades and who was arrested this week in Michigan is former basketball star Jalen Rose's sister-in-law. Jalen seemed like he would have ties to people in crime.
Yep.
He just talked like a dude that's streetwise, man. Like he been around the block.
Well, you gotta understand.
He didn't like Grant Hill.
And you know, his father played in the NBA, yeah. Was rich, and he lived in the hood. He said he used to eat mustard sandwiches. So, I mean.
Well, he said he never knew his dad.
Yeah, and he played the NBA. So, I mean, or his sperm donor was an NBA player.
The former Indiana Pacers and Michigan Wolverine star confirmed that Kathleen Regina Huff is married to his brother, Kevin Rose, the Detroit News reported. The authorities say she evaded capture by leaving San Antonio, getting married, changing her name to Kathleen Regina Rose. U.S. Marshals arrested the 58-year-old Huff. Is his brother?
Huh.
On Wednesday, outside a suburban Detroit home in Farmington Hills, authorities say she was indicted in 1977 by a grand jury on attempted murder charges. She is accused of shooting her common-law husband, who survived. Well, I mean, if at first you don't succeed, Try again, right?
Yeah. You know, my question, though, is, man, how did she get away with changing her name? Because it's a process to get married.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have birth certificates and all type of shit.
Well, common law, they weren't even married. They just lived together. And then finally, just like, okay, I'm just going to call you wifey. You're going
to
be my husband.
But to change her name and all that shit, though?
No, that was to the first guy she shot was the common law. Yeah. Jalen, she was actually married to his That's what I'm saying, to go through that process. Like, it's a process to file for marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's funny, too, because he's going to pay for her lawyer.
I mean, it's his brother's wife.
It's like he got to do that.
Man, Jalen, you know? A real dude, man. Yeah. If you don't like Jalen, that's why I really want to know why he left that show that he was on.
Which show?
Numbers Never Lie.
Oh.
Well, I really like seeing him on the show. He was the only one quoting lyrics. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he would be on there dancing.
Well, you gotta realize that, you know, Jalen Rose was really, to me, the first guy who really stood up to Skip Bayless on a personal note. And said, Skip Bayless, you talked about how you played high school basketball, but you averaged 1.3 point. You know, you averaged 1 point a game, and
yeah, he called him out. He called him Water Pistol Pete. That was
the first guy. But Skip Bayless admitted after the show that he was angry. Like, he's the only guy who actually shut up Skip Bayless. Other than my boy Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Jalen, he's a good dude. So I like him. He came from the hood and really just Like, he kept, like, even when they was going through that thing with Michigan, he kept his mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even though Weber wasn't speaking to him, he still was speaking to Weber. Like, that's still my dude, regardless of what's going on. Like, he's just a real dude, man. He got a school going in Detroit now, trying to give back to his community. He just, there's nothing you can say negative about Jalen. Other than he tried to take Kobe Bryant out during the playoffs.
Yeah, that was wrong.
Other than that.
But yeah, so, he's going to pay for her defense, man. This is called the Lone Star Fugitive, The case was referred to the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force Cold Case Squad. Damn, that's a long title. By both San Antonio Police and the Bexar County Sheriff's Office, Marshals first tracked Huff to Seattle, then to Farmington Hills, where they found her parking her car in her driveway.
Man, what did she do to get back on their radar?
I don't know. Maybe she never was off.
Man, she had to do, like...
She probably was Instagramming.
Man, because think about it. Like, you know, I'm Jalen Rose's brother. You know, nothing is really probably in her name. Everything all in the brother name. Mm-hmm. Like, it's... Like, she purchased something in her
name.
She
did pick a name that wasn't that different from the one she had, so that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean.
But she had to purchase something that just was like, really, bitch, you out here shopping now?
Bozeman said the marshals have no information to suggest any of her immediate family knew about the San Antonio warrant or tried to hide her. He also said that Jalen Rose's name did not come up during the investigation. They did interview her ex-husband, the alleged victim in the case. Bozeman declined to identify the ex-husband, so.
I wonder what the new husband got doing that she ain't try to kill him too.
Speaking of people dying, woman with ties to Aaron Hernandez dies in Southington.
You know, Aaron,
nice knowing you, Vic.
Hernandez, you know, listening, Rod, and you know, they both
do not even put us in this, dog.
Hey, nice knowing.
Do not even put us in this. I don't want to hear this shit.
Before the show, they said,
nope, I don't want to hear it.
We want you to talk about Hernandez.
So
I
yeah,
went along with
nice knowing you.
I apologize.
Last time somebody said that to him, it didn't work out with him. Just going along with some snitching.
He sent me texts and he was just like, "Look, I want you to go in on him." I said, "No, I
A Bristol woman with ties to accused killer Aaron Hernandez died Monday, fewer than 6 months after she survived the car crash that killed a man married to the former New England Patriots cousin.
This is pretty, this is a cousin, mama, baby, sister, cousin.
I'm just saying, if you're paying attention to that first paragraph, two people that know Aaron Hernandez
is dead.
And
if you was paying attention to the show, I said this months ago,
mm-hmm.
Y'all better watch out for A-Ron.
Yeah, he called it. He did call it. He said he might have some ties. Tabitha Perry, 27, previously was interviewed by Massachusetts law enforcement probing the June 17th shooting death of Odin Lloyd. She was friends with several individuals in Hernandez's hometown social circles whose name surfaced after his late June murder arrest. Southington police said Perry's death is being investigated, but it's not considered suspicious. Authorities responded to a 911 call to find Perry, who was visiting a friend, unconscious and not breathing. But it's not suspicious.
Hey, all I'm gonna say, man, is snitches get stitches.
They're awaiting the toxicology testing for the death to see if, you know, if maybe she had any drugs or anything in her system. She was injured in June 30 of a car accident that killed Thaddeus Singleton III, who lost control of his car and flew 100 feet through the air before crashing into the side of Farmington Country Club. Singleton had a child with Perry, but was married to Tanya Singleton, a cousin of Hernandez, who faces an accessory charge in Lloyd's death.
That's the one with the guns. Remember, she tried to hide the gun in the woods?
Mm-hmm.
Man, all I'm going to say, man, is, man, y'all better leave A-Rod alone.
Dude, they had an article about her, about his girlfriend, that said she lied like 56 times on a stand or some shit they can count.
Hey, keep lying, boo. Keep lying.
Stay alive.
Keep lying, boo. Even though you're already kind of fucked up by cooperating in the very beginning,
but
that's a good thing you thought about that thing.
Yep.
Keep lying.
Don't get in no car wrecks, if you know what I mean.
Keep lying. You can't leave the house at this point. Just leave A-Ron alone.
Police have described Singleton as the nexus of Hernandez's Bristol network and said that he is the man who connected the former Patriots tight end with his two alleged accomplices.
No witnesses, no trial.
Ernest Wallace and Carlos Ortiz. Wallace and Ortiz, both charged in Lloyd's death, used to stay with Thaddeus and Tanya Singleton at a home owned by Hernandez's uncle that has been searched multiple times this summer. Also, neither here nor there, those niggas won't testify against him.
Hey, man.
And he's paying for their defense.
No witnesses, no trial.
Hernandez was identified as a suspect in a 2012 drive-by shooting that killed two men in Boston after police seized a car from a garage of the Lake Avenue house that matched the description of the vehicle used in the crime. Sources said that the car has been parked in the garage for about a year The home is owned by Andres Valderrama, an uncle of Hernandez on his late father's side.
Oh, Velma.
Individuals from Hernandez's hometown have felt their group of friends dwindle in the past several months. Five months and everyone around me is gone, said Johnny Booze the third.
Are you talking to?
Hold up now. Don't be the, you know, one way not to miss them, to join them. Go join them and be friends in heaven. A New Britain resident who previously lived in the single with the Singletons. He also had, was close friends with Wallace and Tanya Singleton, who are both in custody in Massachusetts. It's painful. It's hard, said Booze.
Man, what's going to be painful and hard is when one of your family members get. I feel like a Biggie that when he had that song when he tied him up in the basement. It was like, yeah you better say this right here.
You know what else is painful and hard? A bullet. Michael Jordan's mansion fails to sell at auction despite being discounted more than 50%.
He must not know it's a recession.
Does he need the money or is he just?
Yeah, that's what I've been wanting.
He got twins coming. He need the money.
Oh, he got twins coming.
Yes,
twin girls.
Wow, okay. Shit.
He got twin girls coming. He need the money. Yeah. Listen. This. How long you think till they get divorced?
I give it.
I think they're already pregnant.
She's already pregnant.
Yep.
Let's see. The baby's probably here in 2013.
She was pregnant before he got married.
Bro. I give it 2015.
Yeah. Has it been a year? They haven't even been.
I don't know.
But they've been together for about four or five years. I think this is why they're going to be together.
No.
I think they're going to make it out for this. First and foremost.
Yeah, he seems like a stand-up guy.
Not even a stand-up guy.
Oh, okay.
He got a magnificent prenup. So she can leave if she wants.
She got twins. He got.
Yeah, you can't prenup babies.
You can't prenup babies, but that means he ain't going to have to pay no alimony.
Man, Jordan's such a bama. He about to be losing money over these fucking babies.
And then the woman, she probably know when she signed up to marry Michael Jordan that he going to do what he going to do on the side. He going to have his women. I think Juanita married
Juanita
him.
Juanita got half, though.
Yeah, she got half. Ain't no other woman getting half.
So you don't think that she married him because she wanted him all to herself and she thought they could have a relationship with just them two?
Well, just not that. But they had already knew each other in college. They had already knew each other before he became Mike the Great.
Yeah, but not this woman.
Yeah, this woman.
This one, the new one, already knew. So she already had the invitation. She already knew what was going to happen.
Tiger Woods' wife thought that, too. Mm-hmm. That's what Tiger Woods thought.
But you about to break off that paper, dog.
I think that's a whole nother. That's a whole nother.
I'm like you, Rod. I give it 15.
2015. And she's going to be coming for a piece.
Because, again, you leave. Because child support ain't gonna be but so much.
Ask Nas alimony. About that.
Nas didn't have alimony.
He got less
too.
Money. He still.
He got alimony.
Right,
that
but
alimony
Khalees was taking his ass back to court for child support. Though.
Yeah, and child support and alimony. Because Khalees, most of that money was alimony because Khalees was trying to say she only makes. Her milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, but it only made about $900.
I just noticed in your argument you haven't brought up the word love even once.
Oh yeah, yep. Again, I went to law school. They don't teach you how to love. It's just like
Well, you say you want to know their personality.
Yeah, you say like the off the field stuff.
I'm gonna say this, man. I'm about like you, Rod, 2015, and Vic. If you've never changed diapers before, that shit is a motherfucker with two kids the exact same age. Shitting all day long, enjoying at the gym, watching practice.
She ain't gonna be changing diapers. She gonna have a nanny to change those diapers.
Man, we talking about Jordan, man. Jordan not paying for no nanny.
Now I have an alternative theory on this story, guys. Okay, I hate to be that guy.
Okay,
but this is why people listen to the Black Guy Tips, and this is why they listen to Balls Deep Sports. I don't think that this means he's desperate for money.
No, he didn't.
I think this was a pure Michael Jordan overestimation of the value of his shit.
Yeah.
He like got 23 on the front and they're like, yeah, that's not good. They got to take that down. Mike, make the minimum bid 13 million. Like 13 million, Mike, nobody want to pay that shit. You know what I mean? I feel like that's what happened with this is like, it should be 26 million. You know, like we won't even be able to get six.
I
he's like, well, then if it don't sell for that, look, I put my shoes out. My shoes sell for more than this?
Yeah, I think Mike thought, you know what? I sell my shoes out every time, and I just basically sell the same shoes.
Mike probably didn't even.
Same design, same shoe every year, and people buy them. I can sell my.
I bet Mike didn't even clean the house before they tried to sell it. He probably just tried to sell it just as is.
He probably trying to sell it because Juanita probably want the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it probably has nothing to do with him the house. Juanita want the house and he want
to
sell it.
It's not even that he trying to sell it, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even out of vengeance because he would have listed it lower so he could spite her and be like, I sold it for $1 million.
No, he want to sell it just so she can't be in the house, but at the same time, he still want to.
I don't even think he trying to sell it. I'm saying he's so devious. He just telling her he trying to sell it. He like, what you want from me? I'm trying to sell the house. She's like, Mike, you listed it for $37 million. It's not a $37 million house. I don't know what you want me to do. It's worth 37. You got 23 on the front. Put 23 on the front. I signed the bell box. You know, I didn't even clean the bathroom. Like,
all right, my DNA's still in the house somewhere.
Like, he think that shit is upping it, the value. He's like, yeah, I left all the old furniture in there and everything. That shit upped the value. Quick thing here. Aaron Rodgers is not playing this week. I'm shocked.
But you know, I remember why Ben said drop him from your fantasy team. I don't know who's still holding on to him. Yeah, I don't even play fantasy football.
In the keeper league, you will hold on to him. But here's what.
Oh, for next year? I guess.
Yeah, but here's what's most important. This is the difference between white quarterback and a black quarterback. If this would have been RG3, his ass would have been playing this week. Because nobody cares about the long-term effects of injury on a black quarterback. White quarterback, they be like, no, my brother, slow your roll. You are an investment that we want to have for 10 years. Who cares about 1 year in the playoffs or one game? We'll just roll with the second string. RG3 was out there, leg just hanging from his fucking knee. And they was like, get back in the game, nigger. Yeah, thumbs up to the two white dudes going back in the game with a concussion and a hurt knee. Aaron Rodgers got his shoulder messed up, and they be like, he'll be like, I feel fine. I mean, I think I would be able to play, you know, it's, you know, possibly, you know, as long as I don't take the same hit, they be like, nope.
You know, and the sad, well, it's not sad, but the thing about RG3 is that he's of that generation where you can't discuss with him the intricacies of, of why you should go ahead and sit yourself out a week. Because, and you bring that race part up, he's not going to understand that part. He's going to tune you all the way the fuck out.
But I got a white woman. Why y'all worry about
it? Yeah,
No, her white family loves me. Like, all my white friends.
And I'm a Republican, so, you know, they love me too. You know?
Underrated story of the year so far. Haven't heard anyone talking about her. But I've brought it up on Balls Deep several times. Sometimes Justin, you know, shouts me down and says, nope. But Danny Granger going to play for the first time, 15 to 20 minutes this year.
I will shout you down about that, but, you know, I was watching the game the other day against Denver Heat, and I was wondering, this nigga ain't played in a year. Is he really going to be all that good? Like, because it made me think about when I take a month off of basketball, rusty as fuck. It don't matter if I've been shooting around or not.
Right, but this is the first step, right? And I feel like his game can actually fit in with the current roster they have, but everybody keeps saying they should trade him just because Paul George is good. But I feel like that's getting rid of your riches. Like, the Heat wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't do that. You keep what you can keep as long as you can keep it, because I feel like this can be the difference between them being able to beat the Heat.
I do.
Because they went to game 7, and I don't understand why people keep going, well, they went to game 7, now they'll just beat the Heat, but not bringing up Danny Granger. Like, if Danny Granger plays as well, even if he's only playing 25 minutes a game, that shit might make a huge difference if they can get him back to anything that he was at last year.
And you have to remember, Danny Granger, I mean, this dude averaged 26 points at one point.
Exactly.
I mean, he was what Paul George was when we were, you know, before he came out. I mean, he was Paul George. I mean, remember, before Paul George's emergence, they took them to game 7 too.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be big.
I don't understand why people keep downplaying this. It could be huge.
My issue has nothing to do with him. My issue is more David West, and I can't stand him. I think that's more so, if
This is more reason that David West could play a little less minutes.
Like, I feel like he's going to be taking Stevenson minutes, and I'm not happy about it.
But my only thing, too, is he going to be okay with these 15 and 20 minutes?
Who knows, because man? Now, he don't have a choice. He ain't played ball in 2 years.
See, they got a real coach.
He's got to be happy to be back.
Granger has that sort of mentality, because you saw the game. He's a live wire. Even Dwayne Wade and them had to basically say, sit your ass down. Like, no one, you know, because he was a guy who was getting in LeBron's face and getting in Wade's face. And Dwayne Wade was like, you look stupid. We're not going to really fight, so why get in someone's face?
But they need some of that.
Right. They do, but I just don't know whether he still thinks that he is Danny Granger 2 years ago.
We'll see, man. Because
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you that could be an issue if his ego is out of control. It's hard to imagine just because of how far Paul George's star has risen so fast. Like, it's just hard to imagine Danny Granger trying to come back on some I'm the man and Paul George need to fall back shit. But if they get to that, then we'll cross that bridge. But
And I think, too, though, with him coming back, and if he shows that he can play, they have a trade asset, too.
That's what everybody keeps saying.
No, I wouldn't trade him.
And I'm saying, I wouldn't, if I was them, I wouldn't even consider trading him.
I mean, no, I wouldn't.
This year, unless it was in the offseason or something, depending on what his contract is, because I would keep my roster together. This can only get better.
The only reason why I would consider trading him now is his attitude. If his attitude is still, he's groping, then you gotta let him go.
Yeah, but we don't know that he
is.
It would take a long time to figure that out.
No.
I'm gonna tell you what they should do.
And the trade deadline is until February, so I think they got about a month and a half to really see what they can do. And before
that. And I mean, coming back from a major injury like that, I mean, one, you wanna see if he can play, and then they're not gonna play him a lot. And he probably doesn't wanna play a lot. Like, he probably is on some, like, let me go out here and play competitive basketball for the first time and see what I still got. He don't even know what he still got.
They should trade David West for that backup center in Houston.
Yeah, but they already got a center.
Yeah, Roy Hibbert.
Then they'll have Roy and that backup.
Yeah. Okay.
Roy Hibbert, the other guy can shoot jumpers. The other guy can shoot jumpers.
You just don't like David West.
I don't like him. He's fucking huge for nothing. He shoots threes. Why the fuck did he go get all those muscles if he's going to be out there shooting threes? And he's not even an enforcer.
These are good points. He always act like he want to fight. He don't never fight nobody.
Right. Haslam showed him last year. Yeah. You're not about that life.
LeBron James' jersey is the number one selling jersey in the NBA again. So good for him, man.
Yeah, this is after the decision. Everyone thought he would be done. But as I told everyone before, that this was a two-time MVP. That was going to be his team, and I'm not surprised.
I mean, well, LeBron still got like 7 more years in the league.
Yeah.
Kobe's was just the number one over the summer, so it's not.
Yeah, he just finished just above Kobe Bryant for the first time, so good for him, man.
Yeah.
All Kobe had to do was stop playing for a year. Denver Broncos receiver Wes Welker will miss the rest of the season. Talked about that already.
So what about your boy Kobe, though? Are we going to get to that?
That segment's always last.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we save this week in Mamba for the end. President Obama's trolling Russia, sending gay athletes to represent the United States at the Olympics.
That's my president. Yeah. That's my president, dog.
That's such a chess move.
Exactly. That's my president.
See, Barack is the kind of dude that, you know.
President. You always put president.
Okay, he's the kind of dude, well, the president, and that kind of dude that, you know, even with Megyn Kelly, if he really wanted to piss off, he would probably send her a bunch of pictures of black Santas and black Jesus to her doorstep.
He's like Jerry Springer with this move, because this is like when Jerry Springer would bring out the racist people and they'd be like, I hate docs. I hate me some faggots. And I hate some niggers. And then he'd be like, oh, that's very interesting. Well, coming up next, we have some dykes, some faggots, and some niggers. And they would love to sit down. And then they just watch them fight. That's like the president basically said, so y'all hate gays, huh? Y'all put them in jail? put these gays in jail. See what happens. I fucking triple dog dare you, dog. Yep. Please, I dare you. Just call her a name. Just say some disrespect. Just look at her wrong.
Yeah.
See what happened, dog. Say something to Billie Jean King and see if we don't send them nukes to your career.
It's my president, dog.
Such a chess move.
That's my president.
It is. And again, with that Russia, with that move they made, you know, that was just such a punk move. I mean, yeah. You know, so, I mean, kudos to the president for saying, you know what, we ain't even down with that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're gonna say his name, just put president in front. You don't say Bush. You always call him President Bush.
No, give Bush.
Give my president the same respect.
Mm-hmm.
He's that dude too. He's President Obama. Cool, though.
Now, have y'all heard about the rant from the Southern Illinois basketball coach?
I have.
Let me see if I can. If there's a news article, I might be able to play the audio. Awful.
That's about as PG rated as I can say it.
Hold on, wait. Our guards were awful.
Our three starting guards had one assist. Marcus was absolutely awful. That's about as PG rated as I can say it. He was awful. Our guards were awful. Our three starting guards had one assist and seven turnovers. They must think it's a tax credit. It's unbelievable how our starting guards play. And let's talk about our big guys. 2 for 11. How can you go 2 for 11? My wife can score more than 2 buckets on 11 shots because I know my wife will at least shot fake one time. But those guys aren't listening. They're uncoachable right now. I got a bunch of mama's boys right now, and we just won't buck up and bow our necks, and we got to get through that. I'm tired of coaching a guy and having him roll his eyes or put his head down or feel sorry for himself. I'm tired of that. I mean, this is big time. You know, people lose their jobs. You know, they don't put their head down. They go get another job. You saw how we turned the ball over. We made 3 turnovers tonight where we just came down and threw them the ball. I swear I thought one time that one of our players said Merry Christmas. I thought it was a gift. I thought they signed a package over. What I got to get to the point is that every time they don't do something what we want to do in practice, we just put them on the treadmill or push-ups. We've done that a little bit, but we'll just be more consistent with it. To me, when you've got a young team, it's a lot like house training a puppy dog. You know what? When the dog does something wrong, bad dog. Well, you know, I'm not going to hit him. I'm not going to swat him, but bad dog, get on the treadmill. Well, there was a sniper in the gym. Didn't you see that? I mean, we had guys falling down. I mean, we had a guy snipered at half court. 2 guys snipered at half court. It was unbelievable. I thought Navy SEAL Team 6 was out there. I mean, our guys were coming across it. I mean, just nobody around them and just fell down on the ground. How does that happen? And we had a saying at Kansas, sniper. I mean, so I don't know what happened.
Bad dog, get on the trip.
All right. A couple things about this. Number one, I think everybody's overreacting. All right. So I'll say that much. I don't think it was that good of a rant. But number two, how good is his wife, dog? She must got some game, man. She throw some shot fakes up in there. Like, she must be pretty nice, bro. And lastly, I'ma always find it odd when coaches and fans compare playing college basketball to a job. Because a job where you don't really get paid to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, they pay you. It's like they pay you in tokens you can only spend at the university. So it's like, I don't know, you know, is that a job?
And then you can't make money for yourself.
Right. So he's like, people just lose their job. They don't do that. Like, this is a little different. And then the part about the dogs is where a lot of people get mad. They're like, you know, he said, you know, he could play his players to dogs. And I think people are actually overstating that, man. I'll go on a limb. As a dude who hates a lot of the dynamics of college sports, I will say people are being overly sensitive to the dog puppy thing because it was just an analogy to say that he needs to discipline the team. Maybe he should have picked a better analogy. Yes, it was a meltdown. Yes, it was stupid. But I don't think the dude should be fired. I don't think the dude should really be reprimanded that harshly. It just, you know, to me, it seemed almost harmless, the dog comments, man. Y'all got anything to add to this?
I mean, my only problem is when I hate, It's like the guy at the gym at the YMCA who keeps pushing his daughter. You always see him at, he's at the Dowd YMCA, and he pushes his daughter, you know, come on, push, play. And then we see him go out there and play. This guy was absolutely pathetic.
Right.
I mean, he is that guy on the court who tries to be the coach and tells everyone they need to do, but is absolutely.
Yeah, that is kind of a coaching problem in general. Like, a lot of these dudes never play or did anything basketball-wise.
He even touched the net. I don't even want
to. I tell you what he can do. He can pump fake a couple guys.
Yeah.
Shot fake.
And he puts his players at a disadvantage where they're going to probably, you saying this about me? Yeah. I mean, I ain't going to the NBA. You know what?
And I didn't get, like, because I saw, like, sports people talking about it. I didn't get why him bringing up a sniper was so offensive.
I think the D.C. thing.
That's shit that happened in D.C. and a long sniper. Time ago. It's and he like obviously didn't mean it that way.
I guess bombs.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It feel like this.
Nobody liked anything he said. My issue was, well, if you've lost a team of guys you recruited, to me that says maybe you should be replaced. And the problem is you and not them.
Yeah.
That was the main thing I got from it.
I'm going to be watching them now. Now I want to know if they win any more games because, like, they come out and they get blown. Oh, most underrated part of the story was the dude that was on the team and he released a tweet about it.
Yep. Hey,
call him the little man. Yeah, that should pretty much tell you. He said, what was it? I can't believe the little man had the nerve to call us mama's boys. Shaking my head, I guess this is where our team learns to point the finger. So that's good. That's all. Just way to go, college man.
Yeah, and I'm glad he did that. I mean, because I remember Bob Knight's son did that. You know, he coaches at a small college. You know, he said this was the worst seniors he's ever had, and he alleged they were doing drugs and this and that. So, I mean, these coaches generally, again, they blame everyone but themselves. And I just can't, as they say, I can't get down with that.
Dennis Rodman back in North Korea.
Please stay Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Please.
Keep Dennis Rodman.
Keep him.
Hashtag keep Dennis. I'm going to tweet that. We need to start
like,
right
I like Dennis coming back and forth.
I don't like him. I don't like what he's doing.
What is it
I
you
just
don't like about Dennis? What?
I've never,
why?
I'm going to tell you why
I don't like him personally. And
I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. Okay, Justin? And maybe you'll agree, maybe you won't. Do this shit under George W. Bush.
Okay.
That's my
that's
only
enough
problem.
Said.
That's my only problem, to be quite honest. I don't expect much of this dude. He got all these antics. But this shit bothers me way more than since we got a President Obama in there. I'll be like, stop trying to be so fast. Sit your ass down.
I think the thing though, man, is that it's showing that he actually can do this. Like nobody else. Like if that was Bush, nobody could go over there.
But it feel like he trolling the president with all the, cause like he goes over
he,
there.
He attacked President Obama. He called them assholes.
Yeah, he goes over there and talks shit about us. And I'm like, really, nigga? Like, you need attention this bad? You gonna go over there and shit on our country?
Exactly.
The country that allows you to go there and come back freely? You gonna come over there and shit on us?
He wants attention. And you know, and you know, first of all, I'm gonna say another reason why I don't like him, I'm gonna go back to Rod's reason. I'm gonna first start off first reason that, you know, he took, in his book, Bad As I Wanna Be, he always talked about how he used to always date white women. He dated white women because black women didn't want him, and black women weren't this and that, and they didn't want him, so they got famous. He didn't want them either. Like, dude, white women didn't want you either.
Yeah, you bitter ass broke bitch.
Yeah, no, white women didn't want you either. But going to that point, he just wants attention. You know, North Korea, if you're going to call Barack Obama, they kill people. They torture them. Like, you have people there in North Korea who are starving to death, like, because there's no food. Like, you get killed. Like, you just see the dude killed his uncle, and they killed, like, they have no trials.
Right. He killed his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, like, they.
I just said, I have no issue with him going back and forth. It shows the power of our president, that he's allowed to go back and forth. Because, like you said, under Bush, he wouldn't, they'll be like, nah, you can't go to North Korea. No.
But no, I feel like he could have went.
Yeah, he could have went, but be respectful.
He wouldn't have come back.
That's what I'm saying.
I think he could have went. I think he could have come back. He would have been fine because he's a high profile American. So you can't just like kill him or just disappear him. But I think, but that's not what Bush was doing. But I just think that I would understand it more under Bush than Obama. It's like, why wait till we get a competent president to be like, now I'm an actor fool.
Yeah, and then here's my last point I'm just going to make with Dennis Rodman. He called him an asshole, and then North Korea just sentenced someone, I think a 60-year-old American who has diabetes, to 15 hard years. Like, he has to go to a concentration camp for 15 years. Dennis Rodman hasn't said anything about this. He said that's not his problem. He's not a politician. But then in the next minute, you're going to call Barack Obama asshole. Like, come on. Sit your ass down. Just say you want to.
American even go to North Korea?
Here's a clip of him talking to the press.
Yeah. Gave me the opportunity to bring these players and their families over here so people can actually see, so these players can actually see that this country is actually not as bad as people projected to be, you know, in the media. I can control what they do with their governments. I can't control what they say or how they do things here. I'm just trying to come here, you know, and just as a sports figure, and try to hope I can open the doors for a lot of people in the country. Well, like I said, I come over to see my friend. And people always give me a little hard time by me saying that he's my friend. And I'm very proud to say he's my friend because he hasn't done anything to put a damper or to say any negative things about my country or this and that. Like I said, if I could be that type of person to open those doors for America and people around the world, and this is going to be that one thing. I mean, you're going to have 12 American guys, ex-NBA ball players, going back and saying some really, really nice things, really, really cool things about this country. I've done my job.
I feel like Kim Jong-un is, I think I saw this mystery. He has the best cocaine on the planet. And that's all this is about, man. Is the best cocaine is somewhere in North Korea. And Dennis Rodman just traveling where the coke is, man.
Isn't that what, isn't that Washington went got his cocaine for American Games?
Yeah, I think I've solved it. NCAA coaches are now using tweets and Twitter to get around NCAA rules for recruiting.
There's no getting around it if it's public.
You can go on there and tweet without saying the name of the player. And that's not governed by NCAA lines. So you could say, oh, the 2014 defensive tackle from Kentucky is the explosive power he can generate from his lower body. Truly impressive. The guy is a beast without saying the guy's name.
You could say that on TV if you want it.
What do you mean?
Like, they could be like, you know what? The same quote, just actually on TV. What's the difference?
But how often do coaches get on TV to talk about?
Most of them have their own coaching shows.
Yeah, but is that as big as their Twitter? Like, I think Twitter is almost, like, I think a tweet now is bigger than just TV, because then, like, Twitter becomes TV for one. But, yeah, sure.
I'm not saying it's not bigger. Something. I'm just saying that if they could say that on Twitter, they could say it on their TV show. And if it's a violation on their TV show, then it's a violation on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And if it's not, Les Miles tweeted a indirect tweet to the number one running back in the country. Just saying, shady shit going on. Kyle Shanahan says the report leaked about him and his you know, some of his squabbles with his father and play calling and shit is an attack on him personally. Kyle Shanahan of the Shanahans, who have leaked every personal detail about RG3 they could find.
Yep.
And Donovan McNabb. These are the dudes who said Donovan McNabb could not learn the playbook because he was stupid.
If anything, though, this is actually benefiting Kyle. Like, you actually get saying that you're able to separate yourself from your father.
Yeah,
will
that's
be
what
fired.
I was thinking. I was about to say. I mean,
well, you know, he didn't want to separate himself from his father because who else would give him a job?
He's trying to separate him now because he knows his father's likely going to be out. And he's out of a job. He's going to be out. If his father,
yeah, he probably leaked it himself.
Yeah, but if his father is going to be out of a job, then he's going to be out of a job.
Right, so but he could go somewhere else.
But he can
and
go
get
somewhere
job.
Else and get a job now by leaking it as himself. Like, hey, man, I wasn't down with what happened there.
Yep.
Tony Romo and the Cowboys feel fortunate, says Tony Romo.
Good moral victory they had the other day.
Yeah, good moral victory. Way to be a leader, Jerry Jones. You got your fucking quarterback losing, talking about we feel very fortunate. Anyway, I'm not reading the rest of that article. Just think about that, fans. Adrian Broner apparently had a misdemeanor assault charge. had a misdemeanor assault charge against Cincinnati boxer World Boxing Association World Tour champion Adrian Broner has been dismissed, guys. Court records show the charge against 24-year-old Adrian Broner was dismissed Wednesday, the day he was scheduled for a trial in Hamilton County Municipal Court in Southwest Ohio. Broner's attorney says the man who accused Broner of punching him in the face in May 2012 did not show up for the trial.
Nice. Hernandez. You think he was threatening to get punched in the face again?
Yeah, he's like, show up to the trial.
Or he was probably just like, you know what, here's a $1,200.
I think I've solved the mystery of what happened to him. What happened to him when he fought Madonna. Yeah. He told that dude, I can't pay you, okay? But what I will do, put $1,000 on me to lose to Madonna Saturday. And that you can make your money back. And I think that's what happened. He said, all right, if you take a dive, I won't show up to court.
And I'm going to let him rock.
I'm going to let him like almost kill me. Yeah. Just to prove to you that I'm loyal. Yeah, man, Marcos Madonna whooped the shit out of this dude. Listen, I had Twitter mad as shit Saturday night. I don't even really watch boxing like that often.
I know who Adrian Broner is just because he, like, I was like, this dude leaking his own sex tape?
That's what I told Rod. I mean, he leaked his own sex tape, and then he's having unprotected sex with strippers. Like,
that's how I
knew
about him. That's why I was like, wait.
Really? I haven't even seen it. I need to check that out. Is it worth checking out?
No.
I haven't seen him either. I just know he did it.
It's a bad sex tape?
I just know he did it.
Yeah.
Well, people don't like him.
I just know he did multiple.
People don't like him. He's catching it from all kinds of angles.
Yeah.
He has the people that just don't like cocky, arrogant black dudes anyway. But then to catch it even worse, he has the people that like Floyd that don't like that he trying to take Floyd's spot as the cocky, arrogant black dude.
Yeah, I mean, his father and his uncle, well, his Floyd Mayweather's uncle, Roger Mayweather, said Adrian Broner was never going to be the next Floyd. He sucked. That's basically what he said. I saw the end. He said he sucks. Mm-hmm. He said he's not Mayweather. He doesn't have it to be the next Mayweather. So, I mean, I agree with, was it Jasharge 12? He is going to be the next Zab Judah. Adrian Broner is going to be Zab Judah. He's not going to be Floyd Mayweather. Well,
he's just not. Listen. Floyd Mayweather is preternaturally fast. It is impossible to hit this motherfucker. His defense is ridiculous. He never takes a chance to go for a knockout that would leave him open for a counterpunch. And everybody is extremely good until they get in the ring with him. Everybody is the guy who's going to knock him out until they get in the ring. And then you see that they can't hit him. The only dude he has at fault is Pacquiao. And that's more of a Bob Arum thing. Than a Floyd Mayweather thing, in my opinion.
I think that's Mayweather, too.
Nah, I don't think so. Not at this point, man, because Bob Arum is going on record as being like, I won't let my fighter ever fight him. Like, I don't know how much more you can do.
But Floyd has also said that he cares about his health. He's not going to fight some guy who's blown through all
his But on the record, he said he would do it if he would take the drug test.
And Pacquiao now has said the same. He's going on.
After the fight was off the table, after Floyd goes ahead and says, well, he's not going to take a drug test. Let me schedule my next fight. Announces the schedule of the next fight. Then Pacquiao drops the, I'm not scared to take a drug test no more.
Both of them has been playing chicken with each other.
I don't think so. It's one way, dog. It really ain't both ways.
I disagree with you on that.
It's one way.
Niggas
want to see him get knocked out so bad, they just skipping over facts, dog. But, he's supposed to be a lawyer.
But no. But getting on, I want to talk about this Adrian Broner dude. I mean, because we were so fascinated. People were so fascinated with him because he was undefeated. And you know, I watch the sort of personal aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest Floyd Mayweather fan because, you know, with the whole Pacquiao thing, but I do give Floyd Mayweather
props.
I give him props. When Floyd Mayweather, he doesn't drink. He is disciplined. Like, within his life, he is disciplined. Adrian Broner, he leaks these tapes out. He shows these tapes of getting
drunk. That's what I like about him.
Passed out. He's showing all this stuff. I mean, like, you know, Adrian Broner is more about being a movie star than being a champion. And so this is what happened.
He looked more like Jab Judah to me.
Man, everybody needs soldiers, man. Everybody needs soldiers, B.
Yeah, and you got
he a soldier, B.
And you got
let him do what he do, B. But just let him do what he do.
You gotta get
bro. He out there with his leg cocked up. You didn't even notice he could do moves like that. Just let him do what he do, B.
But you gotta give Brown a props though. Dude got rocked in the second and eighth. I thought he was going to get KO. I thought they were going to stop
hey,
it.
I have never
I
gotten
him props on that.
I don't know if I've ever got more respect for a boxer in a defeat like that. Yeah. Like it went from like everybody on my timeline. He needs to be humbled. He's cocky. I don't like him. And they were rooting against him so hard, laughing at him when he got knocked down. And I was like, okay, I get that y'all don't like him, but can we all just say that is amazing that he was still on his feet 12 rounds
that
later?
Was,
cause
yeah.
I thought that nigga was dead.
I mean, cause the ropes.
That last round, it looked like he was out on his feet. You know how you had, people had that glassed over like,
yep.
I'm not really here right now. He had that look for that last round where I was like, yeah, he not gonna be okay after this.
He got head trauma.
Yeah.
He definitely has some head trauma.
This not gonna be okay. And then they didn't even do the post fight interview with him. They just walked into the locker room.
Yeah, and they said he was being unprofessional, but I think he just was like, I don't know who I am right now. So
they were like, oh, he's being spoiled. And then they showed a clip. I was like, that doesn't look like a guy who's being spoiled. That looks like a dude that they're like, let's take him to the back, do the concussion test, check his eyes.
He needs immediate medical attention.
He got Pacquiao. I thought he wasn't getting up. He wasn't supposed to get up. So I give Adrian Bryan that. He knows how to take a pounding, a porn star pounding.
He took one for sure.
Ironically, Victor, all the reasons you dislike him are the reasons I like him. Like, he put out a sex tape. I'm cool. I'm all right with that dude. Like, he didn't. He out here living in the joy of life. He's not gonna be the next Floyd, cause Floyd lives and enjoys life and talks shit, but it's about boxing.
Yeah.
And he'd be I'm the richest. This dude, he like Rico, man, and he just let him do what he do. I love it.
He's doing the sort of T.O. sort of, well, not even say T.O. cause T.O. was more talented. He's doing Chad Johnson thing. He's doing the Chad Ochocinco thing where they want all this attention, but they don't realize they think that they're getting this attention because of their personalities. They're getting this attention cause they're great players. They're getting this attention cause he was a great receiver. And now it's over. You don't hear about Chad Johnson. That's the same thing with Bronner. Bronner has to realize
Chad that he got a nice job with commentating.
Vic,
he is a great athlete.
Vic, this
That's
is his first loss.
Watch him.
This is his first loss, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Some people were telling me that he looked a little overweight coming into this too.
And again, what did you think? It goes back to preparation. I mean, people have constantly questioned his work ethic because with boxing. You have to be on point. I mean, I've watched boxing since a kid. Like, you know, you have to, I mean, you know, a difference between 3 and 5 pounds can be a huge, huge, significant difference to how you fight. So, I mean, he just didn't seem prepared as he normally would have been before this whole Adrian Bryan, Mayweather Jr. or Mayweather III sort of thing took off.
Well, the thing that was like I said earlier, I pissed my timeline off on Twitter. What I did was I kept tweeting that he was winning the fight. And after every round, I'd be like, I got it 4-1, Adrian Bryan. And also, I didn't give Maidana the round where he knocked Bryan down the first time. I gave that to Bronner. I said it was a tie. I said Bronner won the round, but I took a point off for the knockdown, so it's tied 9-9. People were furious because I didn't know how much they hated this man because I don't follow boxing like that lately.
I
only started watching it because nothing else was on. So I was just like, oh, watching this fight right now. Adrian Bronner, man, looked pretty good to me. Like, he got knocked down. I was like, yeah, that's a tie right there. So it's 1-0-1 right now.
Yeah.
And then like he was losing like the next 4 or 5 rounds. And then people were getting so mad that I was like, I'm going with this. So all of a sudden I was like, I don't know how these guys have it scoring, but since he's the defending champion, you gotta actually beat the champ. You gotta knock him out. So I still have it 4-0-1 right now. Then I will, and people will be like, are you serious? What fight are you watching? You crazy. All the judges are scoring it the other way. What's wrong with you? And so we get to the end, right? And, they both had on red and gold trunks, right? So when we get to the end, I'm like, I tweet out a link to, a GIF of, Serena Williams doing the crip walk. And I was like, yeah, we won, dog. Broner all day, baby. Like, and it was like, everybody's like, Broner didn't win, but Madonna won. And I was like, oh, wait, Broner is the black one? And everybody was like, man, fuck you, dog. Fuck you, man. I was like, I told y'all I don't watch boxing. Yeah. I just was looking at the color of the shorts. I just thought they was, I just didn't know which one was which.
Yeah. And see, and that's the thing with Broner. And that's another thing. Broner is always on World Star. That is the most ratchet website.
Yeah. See, I don't know this kind of shit because I don't follow, like, I don't click on World Star links. That's number one. I don't know why you keep doing that to yourself.
Sometimes it is a guilty pleasure.
It is so bad. What's wrong with y'all?
But then people
I would click on viruses before I click on that shit. I would click on something that said you would definitely get 75 pop-ups before I click on a World
Star. Yeah, I mean, he has a series on World. I mean, he shouts out World Star. So I mean, it's like shit. You know, again, it just goes back to that ratchetness.
It was funny though. Did y'all see the memes, the pictures of when he got his ass knocked out and how they was photoshopping it? Hold on. I got to find this shit.
I missed
shit.
That. I got to get back on Twitter more, man.
Yeah. It was so good that night.
And Floyd supports him, too. So, I mean, I think he got one more loss, though. Floyd probably like, you take one more L like that. Don't you know, you need to delete my number.
Yeah.
Him and Floyd, cool. Like, that's
nah, Floyd tweeted out like, hey, you know, you can tell a lot about champion from loss, not just to necessarily win. I'm gonna put this link in the chat room, but there was a part where he first got knocked out. His arms were hanging over the rope and his body was still inside the rope. So people was took that one and photoshopped it. And then at the end that they were holding him, they were holding him up by both arms when they were walking him out away from the arena. So they had that shit too. But let me look at these. About bedtime to show him getting knocked out. Thriller.
They got him. Oh, I see it.
Yeah. They got him doing Thriller. Soulja Boy.
You.
DJ Knight on the ones and twos. They got him spinning turntables.
DJ Night.
Yeah.
You want to go night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestling
move.
Yep. I had another one with I brush my hair with his pops. His dad brushing his hair in the ring. They just got one to just say hashtag turn up. That's good. And then they showed the one where he's like when they're carrying him out. And I don't know if they have this the best one. Let me see. Where's Floyd? They jumped me. Oh, they got the punch out one. Where it's like, do you want to continue? And doing the countdown 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and they just show him knocked out. They got one with Drake arm around him, say, just hold on, we're going home. they didn't put the best one. The best one is they got him with the two dudes holding his hands walking down the hallway, but they photoshopped out the background and photoshopped in a pool of water, and it says wade in the water like you're getting baptized. I was crying when I saw that shit, dude. I was like, oh, they got him. But, yeah, it was a good night. Deion Waiters said he does not want to be traded from Cleveland.
Why? This your way out, dog.
He denies his trade request. You know why he had to lie.
Yeah.
Same reason that Kyrie Irving had to lie and say that he's going to stay. Dan Snyder don't play that. Master Dan find out you're trying to escape, he will cut your foot off.
And you know, I will say this about Deion Waiters. You know, when they was talking about, Deion Waiters supposedly punched Irving.
Yeah.
Kyrie. I was like, I can believe that because I watched the game the other day. And Deion, he not a bitch, man.
He not scared.
Yeah. I could see Kyrie saying something to him and Deion being like, fuck you.
Plus, Deion going to shoot them shots. He don't care.
Yep.
He don't care about the smartness of them shots. You guys play your role, dog. Here's the thing, though. He got a lie. I seen 12 Years a Slave. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Nope.
But it's like that time where they found out Solomon was trying to write a letter to get his freedom. And Master Epps came out and talked to him with that knife in his hand the whole time. That's basically what Dion. I feel like Dan Snyder came down to the locker room and was like, can I talk to you for a second, Dion? Come on outside. What's this? Everything okay with you? Everything going good here at the plantation? Cavaliers.
Everything going okay, Master?
Okay, that's good, boy. Somebody came and told me.
Master?
I don't think a little bird came and told me. I don't think this would ever happen, but somebody came by my office and told me Verjao said you might be trying to get traded.
No, Master. I was a good boy.
I tell you who is trying to get
traded. I was a good boy, Master.
I don't want to leave Cleveland. I tell you, Kyrie's trying to leave, Master.
This is home, Master.
Master, they're trying to do a slave's rebellion.
Why would I leave?
Why would I leave us like that?
Yeah, Master.
Yeah, dog. I feel like Dan Snyder was like, all right, then go and get sleep, boy. Going back in there with your friends.
Yeah.
And walked away, and you can see that knife in his hand.
Oh, Dan Gilbert, too.
Yeah, Dan Gilbert. I'm sorry. Yeah. Dan Snyder, same racist. Carmelo Anthony says Mike Woodson's job is secure as a coach. What does that even mean? Why are they even asking him that?
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
That seems so weird. I've never seen a player had to confirm the security of a coach's job. I've seen owners do it.
But I think York media, too. And when Carmelo Anthony said his job is secure, his job is secure that when New York fires him, he'll be able to get another coaching job. That's what he means.
He could get his contract fulfilled.
Yeah, he could get another coaching job, you know, so he'll always be able to be a coach. Just not with New York.
But you know, they always talk about, well, if the players would have stood up for him, the coach would still be here.
Yeah, yeah. And
you got a player standing up for the coach.
Yeah. And I think Melo is just, she's trying to do this. He knows he's going to get fired, but he's doing this where he's trying to say is, don't blame it on me. And it shouldn't be his fault.
The problem is they asking the wrong player. Now I believe he will get fired.
Yeah, Melo not even going to be there next year.
Yeah, like, now I believe he will. Yeah. If they'd asked, like...
I don't think Melo's going to be there.
Even if they'd asked J.R. Smith, I'd have been like, he probably still be here. Like, J.R. rolling with him. J.R. doesn't fuck with anybody, unless you the weed man or his brother. Them the only people he cool with.
Or if you talking shit on Twitter.
If you in his DMs, he fucking
he
with
might,
you.
Yeah. He might. But it's about that time. Oh, go ahead. What
you going to say? You can't forget the groupies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he fucks with them for sure. K. Michelle, probably. It's about that time. La 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 la. Hey, Mamba. This is a sad day for the Mamba family here at the Black Owl Tips. Kobe Bryant got injured. He got a small fracture in his lateral tibia plateau. That's right. Mamba has muscles you never heard of.
It's my shooting guard.
He apparently is by his left knee. He suffered it Tuesday night when they had played the Memphis. He went to make a move towards the baseline. And he fell down, grabbed his knee. Then he came back and finished the game. Because Kobe Bryant doesn't believe in pain. And they took him, got him an MRI level. Later, and they found out that it's a 6-week injury, probably fractured.
Yeah, see, Paul Pierce would have still been on the ground right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Kobe tweeted, #, broken not beaten, because he's so good.
I feel like he'll be back in time for the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm. I think so. That's in February, right?
Yeah, I thought it was towards the end of February, especially at the end of February.
I don't think he gets in the All-Star game.
What? He's in.
Nigga, he's already in.
He's already in.
Yeah. The voting don't.
He was number one. First
Yeah. Okay. He only behind LeBron James, and LeBron James on the other coast. So he going to the All-Star.
That's why we said. That's why we was joking the whole jersey thing. Like, good for you, LeBron. It's,
yeah.
Kobe's been holding it down for 10 years now, at least.
Congrats.
Number one jersey.
But, Mike D'Antoni said that's too bad. You hate it for Kobe. He works hard to get back, but he'll be back. He'll be back in 6 weeks, and we'll deal with it. And weather the storm until he gets back. What I didn't like was that they interviewed Steve Nash. He tried to add himself in the Kobe category. Steve, no, you ain't Mamba. He tried to be like, well, you know, we've been injured this year. We've been here. You know, it's been pretty tough for us. And, you know, ever since I've been here, it's just, you know, it's been kind of a rough go. No, it's been rough for you, you unhealthy motherfucker. You stay hurt.
Now, anytime Phoenix say you done, you done.
When you gonna fly to Russia and get your fucking stem cells done? You over here talking about it, I'm gonna use my chakras to heal myself. Man, get the fuck out of here, Steve. Can't play no defense. Anyway.
Man, don't let somebody introduce your wife to Tony Parker.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Don't let it happen, bro.
Keep trolling.
It could be you. Hey, Justin, I gotta ask, man, like, as a Lakers fan, how do you feel about Kobe being injured? Is it a blessing in disguise? Because it's like, you know, y'all can kind of tank this season without it being kind of like on Kobe. Like, he can use this season to get healthy, and maybe if y'all get a good draft pick next year, y'all can like do something with it.
Ironically, it's bittersweet. It really is. I hate it had to be Kobe to get hurt again. Like I was hoping, like, yeah, Kobe come back just like last year, and then one of the other stars would be hurt. Mm-hmm. So if they had a bad season, it could be like, you know, Kobe did all he could do. He came back early, but you know, he one man can't do it by himself. I didn't want it to be Kobe, but at the same time, like I said, hopefully we get a good draft. I think this also sets up the opportunity to get rid of Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Antoni at the sources, same time.
Sources say LA is not Dylan Powell, but we'll see how true that is.
Well, hopefully they get rid of him and D'Antoni at the same time.
I hope they get rid of D'Antoni first, because Paul is a good player. He's just not using him right.
Well, now, if you're getting rid of Powell, if they're not going to trade Powell, that probably means that they just want his contract to come off the books at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So they probably just already, one way or another, he probably won't be returning.
I hope you trade him and get something for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my opinion, like, to me, it would make sense to trade him. Get LaMarcus Aldridge. Get that boy.
I don't know if anybody will trade LaMarcus Aldridge for any player not named LeBron James.
I'm just saying.
That dude is playing. He's the best power forward in the league, hands down.
Yeah, he can.
So I wouldn't.
And Paul's an old dude. I think, you know, a situation I see working with them is maybe if he goes to Memphis with his brother.
That's what I was thinking. You
know. Or get us a guard. Get us a real guard.
But Justin don't like, he don't like Z-Bo.
I actually like Paul possibly.
No, I like Z-Bo.
No. He don't like it the other way. Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You don't think Z-Bo would like L.A. So
yeah,
you're like,
yeah,
nah.
Z-Bo wouldn't.
I think a good trade could be my man from Turkey. A Turkish player with Houston, send him, make the trade with the Lakers.
You talking about the backup center?
Yes.
That wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, I like
that. I like it because he can hit the jumpers.
But that'll get us a guard, man. We can always get big men. Get us a guard.
But I think the draft is going to be full of guards.
We need.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking about, because people are like, well, you know, we can move if the Lakers get a high draft pick. You know, it'll help rebuild. But I'm like, if they get a high draft pick, then are they going to go with that center out of Kentucky? Because everybody else kind of play Kobe position.
Yep.
You know, like Jabari Parker, you know, like it's hard to see them.
But I think they can coexist because Kobe's only going to play another 2 years.
He's not. Yeah, but it's that. But it would. But I don't know, dog. Like,
if you have Jabari,
that's like bringing in
your number one draft pick. You want them to get run,
right? You want them to get run on the court with the dude at the same time.
I may be going off on this, but you are. Know what?
About to say some slanders about Marvel.
I'm about to say something slanders.
The last time Vic's on the show.
Hey, okay, well, you know, just have to thank y'all for letting me up.
Vic,
here.
Watch your mouth, man. Yeah, watch your mouth. There's no partition.
But look, you have Jabari Parker, and I saw his game.
La 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 la. Mute his mic.
La 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 la.
You're not gonna
la 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 la. Hey Mamba. This has been it for the Blackout Tips premium podcast, Balls Deep Sports, this week. We'll be back next week with more sports, you know, hopefully during the Christmas break, man. So we'll talk to you guys then. Until next week. Peace.